get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Welcome. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this evening, our local audience here and those of you on the internet around the world. So glad to be with you again. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of Fort Myers and Naples area, Florida, and all up and down the western Gulf Coast of Florida. And a delightful day here. I hope it's nice where you were as well. We've got much to talk about tonight. I know some of you have been asking, and we have it tonight. Somewhere a little later on in the show, we've got a few minutes of Republican love coming for you tonight. Yes, indeed, and they were out in force this week writing some good ones, and we're going to have them for you. Got a great guest coming on a little later, a gentleman by the name of Hugh Kaufman. He helped found the EPA, was with them for 35 years, and he's going to talk about this toxic soup, this real environmental mess that we have on our hands down in New Orleans area right now, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. The man, what he doesn't know about that situation isn't worth knowing, and much, much, much to talk about tonight, and we hope you'll call and give us your views on everything we want to talk about tonight. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We welcome your calls. We do want to hear from you, and your opinion matters. And for those of you... Also, you can go at AAIM, right? Now, Johnny's looking at me funny because I can never remember that. You can sign on to AIM, Guy James Show. That's just what you got to put down there, Guy James Show, and we'll talk to you back and forth on there as well. And, of course, we've got a thread started on the Democratic Underground website, and hello to all the folks on Democrats.com and the Smirking Chimp.com, and I don't know how many other websites. Sometimes I'm going to have to write them all down so I mention them all. A little later on, we're also going to mention a bunch of great donors that we have for the program. I've been remiss in not doing that lately, and we'll get on to that a little lately and a little more a little later. Can't talk tonight. I should start over again. I need some, what is it, the drug of choice, OxyContin? I think that's what it is. And of course, I think after hearing old Rush lately, I think he's speeding up again. I think he's starting to stutter and stammer and laugh uncontrollably at times. I don't know, but that's another story. So much to talk about tonight, so little time, and I know you'll want to get your 2 cents worth in on it, too. How many of you saw, raise your hands now, how many of you saw our esteemed president give his speech the other night? Everybody in the studio has got their hands. We got Johnny with his hand up. Ron's got his hand up. Lila's got his hand up. And Erica's back with us this week. She is. Erica, did you see that? Did you see this? She didn't see it. Okay, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Out of the whole staff here, just one. But she knows what the content of it was and all. So all of us do. And I'm sure just about all of you, if you could stand it, Do you all feel the same way I do about it? Do most of you feel that it's just plain painful to watch that man speak? I mean, it really is for me. It is. It's painful. And if I, you know, I would... You've all heard the Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme, I'm sure. You all remember that. And then maybe do people tell their kids that Humpty Dumpty rhyme anymore? I don't know. Some of them are so old. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. See, I remember that after all these years. All of my regular listeners know by now that I'm referring to George W. Bush's Humpty Dumpty. I've done that in the past. And he's taken a great fall, and it sure looks like all the king's men, that would mean Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Donnie Rumsfeld, Andy Card, and others, sure can't put Humpty back together again. And not that the king, and that would be Karl Rove, not that he hasn't tried. They've even tried to Bush out to stammer and stutter his way to a half-hearted acceptance of blame the other day. My word, do you believe that? Did you ever see anyone so uncomfortable in front of the cameras before? You know, face it, this guy is no Clark Gable in front of a camera anyway. Or to you younger folks, he's no Tom Cruise in front of the camera. And his little so-called apology this past Tuesday really was a sight to behold. He was looking down, he was looking around, he was looking up, he was looking everywhere except into the camera, and he said those famous words, quote, "To the extent that the federal government didn't fully do its job right, I take responsibility," unquote. I thought he was going to choke on the words before he spit them out. He looked like a proverbial whore in church when he walked out to take that political gamble that goes against everything he believes in. You could tell it was tough for him. This White House has had a policy of never, never, never take any blame for anything, and they haven't up till now. But this time his handlers decided that the political advantage was for him to go out and be a big man. Yeah, and take the blame. Sort of like making himself look kind of Kennedy-esque. As when JFK stood before the American public and took the blame for the Bay of Pigs debacle. Sorry, I didn't mean to use the names of JFK and Junior Bush in the same paragraph. I got carried away, but... No, sir. This time, the emperor was standing there without a stitch of clothing, practically naked as a jaybird, and he knew it, and he hated the moment like none he had ever experienced before. You could see it on his face. He finally realized that the American public thinks he's a complete failure. He knows it now. That's right, a failure. The majority of the public disapproves of his actions as president. They disapprove of the Bush War. They disapprove of the handling of the Gulf Coast disaster. They disapprove of the men he personally hired to do the job at the Homeland Security and FEMA. And most surprising of all to him, they disapprove of him. He looked like a sulking little schoolboy who was sent out to apologize against his will, or he wouldn't get to go out and play anymore. King Carl, Cheney, Rice, Karen Hughes, you can bet all of them told him he had to do this, and it was more than evident that he just didn't want to do it. He'd rather been anywhere than do that. It was painful for him. You know, it was actually painful. You could see the look on his face to admit a mistake. You know, what a little man he is. Never admitting a mistake. And in fact, during the debate, you remember back during the debate and a couple of his famous town hall meetings? He couldn't even think of one mistake he'd made since being selected as president. That's what I call a little man. He most certainly is that. And how many of you noticed when he gave his speech the other night down in New Orleans that he had his shirt buttoned up wrong? Did you notice that? Oh, yeah. Did you ever button your shirt and you didn't have the light on and you got one the button below, but you know, whopper jawed there, as we used to say. Yeah, he had his shirt like that. I guess Karen Hughes or Condi Rice wasn't there to dress him. You'd think somebody would have noticed that. But there he is, standing in front of Andrew Jackson's statue. There we had a boy standing in front of a man trying to give a speech and just didn't. And I guess to all of our Republican friends, all of our conservative friends now, we can start calling him LBJ. Yeah. Lyndon Bush Johnson. because he's going to give away the farm now. Did you hear all the stuff? I would suggest that they raise some money and go out and buy a bunch of new printing presses for the U.S. Mint and just turn those babies on and crank out $100 bills as fast as they can from now till forever, because we're going to need it. We got a couple of $1 trillion worth of red ink we got to take care of. We've got budget deficits as far as the eye can see. We're knocking down, $5 billion a week in Iraq. And we're going to spend a couple $100 billion over here in now fixing up the southern Gulf Coast. Where's this money coming from? Oh, you know where it's coming from. He said he's going to do away with unnecessary spending. Let me ask you something. If it wasn't necessary, why were they doing it in the first place? Unnecessary spending? No, you know where that money's going to come from. It's going to come from school programs, after-school programs. It's going to come from the poor. It's going to come right from the hides of the poor, folks. You can bet that's where that money will come from. And you know who's going to end up with the money? All of his rich friends. The contractors, your Halliburtons, your KBRs, and those folks, Bechtel, they're in there already like a bunch of vultures. They'll end up making billions off of this, and that's how it always works with these folks. That's how it is always with these folks, and I hate that. I do hate it so. I really do. Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. I want to know what you have to say. And before I go to the phones, I don't want to stop with Junior Bush this week. As you know, I call a spade, and where were the Democrats this week? Standing up, pounding their fist on the table and say, wait just a minute, Mr. Bush. Let's do away with the tax cuts. Let's do away with the tax cuts for the rich. If you're going to do anything to pay for this, and it's got to be paid for, I don't begrudge the money going down there to help those folks. It's the graft and corruption out of it that's going to be bad. The Halliburtons and the KBRs will be raping the public blind, and even the coroners down there end up having a Bush connection and getting paid $109,000 a day to be there. Same ones that were involved in Funeralgate when Bush was governor of Texas. You all know about that. Even there. So the vultures all flocked in. They're going to make the big bucks. And I don't mind the people. I want the people of New Orleans to have everything they need to get going again. I don't begrudge them one nickel. But I want the money spent wisely. And I think it should be financed by doing away with these tax cuts for the rich. That's the obvious way to pay for it. It's the easiest way to pay for it. And I know they'll scream bloody murder, all those millionaires that got the tax cuts, but that's how it should be done. And yet, did we have our Democrats standing up and demanding that? No. Where were they all week when this came up? Yeah, you know how I feel about that. We're gonna go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Hi, guys. For one, we're still wasting money in Iraq.
Oh, sure.
Number two, what about corporate welfare? That's another place to dig a hole, you know, to get some money.
Yep.
Number three, I don't trust Bush in any of this money. $200 billion to rebuild a seaport into a town so that it can be maybe destroyed next year by the same thing. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. To me, it's insanity. I can't understand it. And then locally, I want to go here because I know you go out around the country. The rest of the country has no idea what we go through in this area to have a talk radio show. It is totally right-wing crap. And all week long, all I've heard out of this insane Ellie Mae Clampett-type woman is trying to incite race riots by talking about how we're too white here to have gotten money for Hurricane Charlie victims. Excuse me, we had $2.3 billion allotted here, but do you see much of it? Well, the guy that he just appointed for FEMA out of Miami, isn't he the one that stole $35 million of it?
I don't know about him stealing $35 million of it, but I can tell you this. If you were listening last week, we had some callers called in trying to compare what happened here to what happened in New Orleans, and that's a joke.
It is. I mean, it doesn't even compare.
No.
And, I mean, you've got to understand, this is Jeb Bush's brother, you know, his country. And a lot of people out of state may not know this. But to hear these local yokels here, these yahoos in the morning, totally wasting 3 hours of airtime with absolute nonsense and ignorance, is just beyond me. That's why I'm hoping that, especially after hearing them insult Cape Coral John, who comes on your show regular, and he's a very intelligent person and a very wise person, and to hear them absolutely insulting him, calling him the breather. So they meant, not only do they make fun of blacks, they make fun of someone who may have a disability. For all I know, John may have asthma. I don't know what he has, but it's none of their business. They have no business making fun of him on the air. It's highly unprofessional. And these advertisers that back them are absolute crap in my eyes. And anyone that buys from them is crap.
Well, you need to let them know that.
Yes, indeed, Guy. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Diane. Yeah, always let people know what you think. And, you know, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. I want to touch on what Diane was just talking about, and I certainly heard it this week. I wonder why many people are keeping it a secret. They talk about it amongst themselves, but they're real careful. And we've all heard the conversations, the jokes, the snide remarks. There isn't a single one of us who hasn't heard someone in our family, our friends, maybe a coworker. We've all heard it, and we all know what it is. It's an undercurrent of racism in this country that simply will not go away. I had hoped that the generation after mine would sweep this blight upon our nation out the door, but I'm beginning to think it's never going to disappear. And I'm so disappointed over that. These past 3 weeks have shown us that good old-fashioned racism is indeed alive and well, and I've seen it rear its ugly head over and over again during that time. Bill O'Reilly said most of those who stayed behind in New Orleans did so because they were drug addicts and thugs. He wasn't this guy who's a sexual pervert talking about everybody else in New Orleans being drug addicts and thugs. Limbaugh alluded to the same thing by saying they were just too lazy to get out of town. Even a local radio host exhibited blatant racism just yesterday. The host was saying how she hated Bush's speech because of the help he promised the poor in New Orleans. She talked about how our area didn't get billions of dollars in government aid after Hurricane Charlie because, and I quote, we weren't black enough. Not once, not twice, several times. And this was no slip of the tongue because she said it more than once. Not black enough. What the hell does that mean? What does that mean? If Bush had promised that aid to a community of all white people, would a comment like that have been made? There was massive federal aid after Hurricane Andrew, and there was significant aid given right here after Charlie. It's just that the devastation caused by Charlie and Katrina is like comparing apples to oranges. As bad as Hurricane Charlie was, and it was terrible, it most certainly didn't even approach the wrath of Katrina. Hell no, we didn't have the same amount of aid here as the people of the North Gulf Coast are going to need. It's because this area only suffered a small fraction of the damage that Katrina caused. It has nothing whatsoever to do with we weren't black enough. I was ashamed to hear that coming from my town on the radio. It's bad enough to hear an ass like Bill O'Reilly say it. It's bad enough to hear a buffoon, a drug addict like Rush Limbaugh said, but for it to come from my hometown here right now, I'm disgusted by that remark. And consider the effect of a ruined New Orleans, a major shipping port, home to a tremendous amount of oil and gas production. The shipping and oil business there needs thousands of employees. After the storm, where were those employees supposed to live? Think of the welfare of the United States. Where were they supposed to live? You know, their homes were destroyed for the most part. And for the oil and shipping business to survive, which, by the way, those two are absolutely vital to the well-being of the United States, the whole United States, for them to survive and flourish, they need their employees, and those employees need housing. And many of them are starting over with absolutely nothing to their names except the clothes on their back. And you want to tell them to just suck it up and do it yourself? This is more of that compassionate conservatism I keep hearing about. The people spouting this crap about how we shouldn't help the storm victims get started again have more compassion for their dogs than they do for the people of North Gulf Coast. Hell, I respect members of the Ku Klux Klan more than I do some of you who are making those veiled racist remarks. At least the members of the Klan are honest about it. They'll admit it. You won't. You say these little veiled, these little catchphrases and stuff that you all know what they mean. You don't have the guts to come out and say what's really in your heart, but I know what's in your heart when you say that. Frankly, I'm ashamed that Americans talk that way. I thought we'd progress to the point where racism would maybe be a bad memory someday soon. But now we've got them coming out of the closets all over America and spewing the worst kind of hateful racist rhetoric, and it's disgusting and it's wrong. Many of these races count themselves as Christians. What pure bunk that is. No decent Christian would say some of the things I've heard this past week, but then there's safety in numbers, isn't there? And is it a coincidence that all the southern states that voted red, which by the way includes all of them, is it any coincidence that those are the same states which fought to the death to preserve the most shameful chapter in our nation's history? Old habits die hard, don't they? Make no mistake about it, many of those folks would welcome a return to the good old days of the stars and bars when those Negroes knew their place. And that place was under the boot of their owners and masters, and make no mistake about it, there's many, many people who'd love to see those days come back again. Many, many, many. Johnny, you got something to say?
We got a person on the internet, Leo in Seattle, who says, he brings up an interesting point. He says that he feels like it may not only be racist, but actually also classist, because apparently in Seattle, it doesn't matter what color you are to get into the country club, so long as you have what's green.
Yeah.
So well, he said that might also be a point, too.
I agree. It's both. And when you consider that the folks in New Orleans had both strikes against them, they had race and class against them, they didn't have a chance, a lot of them. And I would think most learned people would know that. Let's go to Shirley in Fort Myers. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. And I have a great fear that he will try and build horrible housing projects. Have you been to New Orleans?
Oh, yes.
And you know how wonderful the French Quarter is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. My suggestion is any reconstruction be based on the architecture in the French Quarter, and with the wonderful apartments and those beautiful buildings with wrought iron balconies and little French Quarters all around the areas that have been, you know, wrecked, and prove that these people deserve nice housing, and instead of throwing up horrible-looking housing developments. And then the other thing is, I had heard originally there were no levees, that water used to go through rivers and streams before they built up the levees. Maybe get some engineers to reconstruct that and go back to a natural way so that the levees aren't a menace. But I do think the architecture should be consistent with the French Quarter, wherever it's built, with nice apartments for these people instead of ugly housing projects. What do you think?
Thanks for your call, Shirley.
You bet.
I agree. You know, it's going to be so hard to redo New Orleans because there's a town that's got soul. It's got character. No matter what you think of New Orleans, and I know there's been corruption and graft and political discord there and all that over the years, but that town really, really, really got character. And it's hard to rebuild that once it's gone. It's just, you know, they're ordering all these trailers for people to live in temporarily, but who knows what's going to be built on a permanent basis. Going to be interesting to see. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven.
Hello.
Hi.
Something popped or something. I couldn't hear you. I listened to the speech, and I don't trust him any other than I could throw a nickel. Hello?
Yes.
And I don't see where he apologized to anybody. I mean, he could have started off and said, I apologize to all the people who lost loved ones and who went without food and water for the days for our neglect and all. You know, I mean, be a man.
Well, he doesn't know how to be a man. He's
and I'm afraid that they want to turn that place into another Iraq because they've got he's revoked Dakin, Douglas Bacon bill. The Republicans refused to revoke the bankruptcy laws for the new bankruptcy laws for the people there.
Yeah, isn't that something? You're going to have thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people there in terrible financial dire straits, and they're going to get caught by this new bankruptcy bill.
And also Halliburton is in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why should we trust them?
Well, we shouldn't trust them. And,
I don't trust them at all.
I don't either, and I'm disgusted that our Democratic lawmakers haven't stood up and yelled a little louder this week. Got to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour, Juanita.
I just want to say we are still the state of blue roofs.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay,
bye-bye. Hey, you're listening to The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG. We're going to be right back after a break at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Guy James Radio Network. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at J2KProductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, Productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Ursetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
This might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Give countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your
security code.
What is this?
Calibrate digital audio.
Press it, equalize it, add echo.
Set up, complete. Initiate transmission.
Commercials off. Commercials off. This is the Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
Glad you're back with us, listening to the Guy James Show, and as I promised, we've got a lot of topics to talk about tonight. Of course, we're talking primarily about New Orleans and the Hurricane Katrina, and I certainly don't want to forget the good folks at Gulfport and Biloxi and that whole area up there. All of it's a horrible, horrible disaster, and our hearts and best wishes go out to those folks. I promised a great interview tonight, and right now I've got a gentleman on the phone by the name of Hugh Kaufman, and Hugh is a senior policy analyst was at the Environmental Protection Agency office, and he worked at the agency for 35 years. In fact, I believe he is one of the founders of EPA, helped found it. So he knows in depth all about this subject of the mess going on over there right now, and I figure what he doesn't know about this situation probably isn't worth knowing. Hugh, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Well, good. And
I just want your listeners to know that I still work for EPA. I'm still a senior policy analyst, but my comments are based on my 35 years experience doing this stuff as opposed to the political policies enunciated by the Bush administration.
Well, if you're not able to talk about it after 35 years, I don't think you would. You were there at the inception of the EPA, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We started the agency under President Nixon, and we started within 2 years of the agency a program to prevent contamination from solid and hazardous waste and emergency situations. And then a few years later, we got legislation to actually clean these situations up. So I've been involved in all those processes when it was just a small group of folks all the way now to a large infrastructure able to respond to hazardous situations around the country.
I'm trying to think what year the Love Canal was.
Love Canal, well, I actually started the investigation of the Love Canal case in the mid-70s, but it became public knowledge toward the end of the 70s, around 78, 79.
So for all of our younger listeners, if you don't know what the Love Canal is, do a Google search on it. You'll find out it's a hair-raising story of environmental problems. And Hugh also was involved in the post-9/11 emergency response. He was the chief EPA investigator. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, the local congressman, Congressman Jerry Nadler, whose district the World Trade Center is in, asked EPA's ombudsman to investigate the federal government's response because it did not look like the federal government had been working appropriately and following the rules in responding to the environmental hazards from that catastrophe. And I was the chief investigator for EPA's ombudsman. We held countless hearings, investigative hearings, and we investigated the situation, and we found that basically the federal government was lying to the public that the air was safe, and that workers, the heroes that I call them, the people who were down there trying to remediate the situation, look for the dead bodies, were not provided proper health protective equipment such as respirators. And basically, we wrote quite a scathing report, drew quite scathing recommendations so that this never happened again in response to a major catastrophe, whether a terrorist catastrophe or a natural catastrophe. As a result of our criticism, the Bush administration abolished the EPA ombudsman, and so now I'm the senior policy advisor for the Office of Solid Waste and Emergency Response.
Well, tell me, are you absolutely free of political control?
Yeah, I'm a civil servant, and I'm totally free of political control. And
you'd better be.
And, in fact, one of my concerns now, an issue that's still playing out, is 75% of the workers who were poisoned because the government lied after the World Trade Center situation are now very ill, and they're starting to die off. And that's one of my concerns about the response now to Katrina, where we have another group of heroes down there, National Guard, military, police, fire, Coast Guard, a whole host of heroes and volunteers down there, and they're not wearing appropriate protective clothing. They're not wearing respirators. And I'm very concerned that we could see the same situation 4 years down the line where they're going to start getting sick.
Well, Hugh, we've all heard about this disastrous environmental nasty stew that's on there right now. But I read someplace where you've said, and I can't think of the actual quote, but you said the danger might actually be worse when the water goes away.
Well, the danger will be worse when the water goes away because you have a toxic sludge that's being left when the water is gone. Right now, there are very few people there. When the water is gone, you've got a toxic sludge that over time is going to dry out, and so you're going to have more air pollution because you're going to have toxic dust as the sludge dries out. And that will get into people's lungs, get into their food, have direct contact. So situation could even be worse down the line than it is right now environmentally.
Will it get into the aquifer? Is there any danger of that, polluting the actual groundwater and all that as well?
Well, of course the groundwater will be contaminated, but the reality is that people are not really expecting to get drinking water from the water underneath the New Orleans area because New Orleans is below sea level. My big concern right now is everyone knows the water is contaminated. If you turn on the tap, you've got poisoned water, so you don't want to touch that. My big concern right now is that people are inhaling bacteria, viruses, toxic material, and will be inhaling more until remediation is completed. And direct contact with all this material also is a concern. If you're eating there, it'll get on your food. What are you going to do? It's a horrendous, horrendous situation. It's the worst case scenario situation, which we were all aware could happen. There were three catastrophes that all of us in this business knew had to be prevented. A terrorist attack of New York, a earthquake in San Francisco, and a hurricane hitting New Orleans. This was one of the three worst case situations that we knew we had to deal with, and unfortunately, the government was in fact less prepared to deal with this than they were on September 10th of 2001.
Is it going to be practical to clean it up? How long do you think it'll take? And while they're doing this, when the water's going away and we're having this much dust in the air, what, are they going to have to wet it down to keep the dust down to a minimum? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a large area. We're just talking about New Orleans. We're not talking about other areas in southern Louisiana and Mississippi, which also we're concerned about. This, New Orleans is the biggest problem. Right now, we have to limit people going in there. The mayor made a reckless and irresponsible decision in allowing people to come back to parts of this area without remediation and without air testing. We haven't done a thorough environmental assessment yet to determine how we know it's a serious risk, but we haven't even determined how serious the risk is. That's why the head of the Coast Guard has come out asking the mayor to change his decision and not let people come back yet.
Well, we have the place already in some quarters called Cancer Alley because of the pollutants around that area, and now we've got a huge oil spill in the area.
We got 44 major oil spills in the area.
44?
Yes, sir.
And we're talking about millions of gallons.
Oh, absolutely. We're approaching the amount of oil that's been spilled with the Exxon Valdez situation, only from numerous sources, not just one source.
Wow, that's incredible. I saw one area there where actually one of the large holding tanks, the oil holding tanks, actually floated off, and the whole thing emptied into the immediate area where all the folks lived that worked there and so forth. It's just, I don't know how they ever cleaned that up. I just don't know.
It takes years. It takes years. And it takes a lot of money.
To say nothing about, I don't know how much you know about this, but this water is going out into the Gulf now, down the Mississippi, out into the Gulf.
Yes, sir.
We've got a problem, obviously, with seafood, with shrimp that's on the bottom of the Gulf and so forth. Is that going to be destroyed for a number of years?
Yes, sir, it will. Everybody knows that there will be a major economic problem for the shellfish industry that will be impacted by the contaminated water that's being released that will ultimately go to the Gulf.
How much of a threat is it to the rest of the Gulf? Is it something that's going to stay pretty much local there, or will it be much, much diluted by the time it gets to...
Well, one of the misconceptions is that the contamination spreads throughout the whole area and thus gets diluted. Our experience is that this material moves in slugs. So there'll be slugs of area that will be seriously impacted and other areas that won't be so impacted. And that's why you have to have a very serious monitoring program to monitor the movement of this toxic material. So you could take hotspot remediations as it moves into the Gulf.
My, oh my. I can't grasp the size, the enormity of the job that has to be done there to clean this up.
Well, Love Canal was a monumental task. It was one company's dump site that contaminated a neighborhood in upstate New York, and it took hundreds of millions of dollars and 10 years to remediate. That particular case was like a fly compared to the herd of elephants that we have to deal with in southern Louisiana and southern Mississippi.
Well, do you think it's going to be decades then before we, I mean, can they even clean this up?
Well, we can remediate this. If you, you know, the more money that you throw in, the quicker you can remediate. You can minimize problems and start to rebuild. But I would not expect that you would do it all at once. You do it in stages. So some areas could be inhabited in a year. Others may not be for 10 years.
Oh, incredible. Absolutely incredible. I don't think anybody at first was able to grasp the enormity of the situation.
Well, I can tell you the policymakers and the people in Congress can grasp it, because right now the administration is trying to push through a law in Congress that would abolish the environmental protection laws. And the reason they want to do that is the environmental protection laws are written in such a way that the oil and chemical companies whose waste has helped contaminate the area will have to share some of the cleanup costs. If they abolish the laws, the taxpayers would have to pay for it all.
And this at a time when most of those companies are making record profits and probably could afford to kick in and help with the cleanup.
Absolutely. It's your gasoline prices.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair to me that the public will end up bearing the entire cost of this, and they'll continue to...
Well, that's why they want to abolish the environmental laws, so that they can keep the public paying for it all, as opposed to having the oil and chemical companies chip in big bucks.
Oh, they're doing that with other things as well, as the prevailing wage. They're going to drop the prevailing wage rates there.
They abolished the law for paying prevailing wage, so the companies like Bechtel and Halliburton will get no-bid billion-dollar contracts and hire people at slave wages.
Tell me something. Companies like Halliburton and Bechtel and KBR, so many times when we hear about no-bid contracts and we hear about them getting the whole pie when it comes to something like this, are they truly the only companies with the size and expertise to do a job like this?
No, they're the companies that are politically plugged into this administration.
You know, we hear that all the time. Well, they're the only companies big enough to do it.
Not true.
Yeah. Okay. So there are others. So the lesson here being, if you're a company that does that, you need to kick in more to the political coffers of whoever's in power.
That's how the system works now.
Isn't it a shame? Well, Hugh, are you going to have a personal stake in this down there? Are you going to be down there? Are you going to be involved in this? What's going to be your mission here?
Well, I'm in my mid-60s. I'm an old guy, And
oh, don't say that.
I'm hanging around to try to steer things in the right direction any way I can. But I think my days of wearing a respirator and cowboying it up like when I was in my 30s are long over.
Well, I hope you keep close tabs on what's going on and help guide everybody in the right direction. It's going to take a lot of expertise and time and patience and knowledge to take care of this situation and help those poor folks out. Hugh, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program.
And thank you, sir.
I want to thank you so much for taking your time on this Saturday evening to enlighten our listeners with a great amount of expertise. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, Hugh Kaufman. You talk about the horse's mouth. Well, there it is. He helped found the EPA. What he doesn't know about the EPA, I guess, isn't worth writing down. So we wanted to have him on tonight because, he does know it all. And there's a toxic stew down there. There's a mess down there that God only knows when it's going to get cleaned up. It's a fascinating, fascinating problem. And you know what I hope doesn't happen? You know how we Americans are. Our attention span's about this long. I'm holding my fingers close together. Our attention span's so close. And you can see it happening already. Interest is starting to wane a little bit in the story. Now all the water's receding and the rescues have stopped. And now the hard work, the true hard work of this whole situation, the dirty, messy hard work of it, of cleaning up and starting over again and tearing down and building and bulldozing and all that. That's the real hard work that's going to come now. And I'm afraid Americans won't see that. We'll lose interest in this story, and we'll be out of there. And, oh, yes, from time to time we'll get an update on it. But this is the story of the century, and we're in a new century, and it may well, I hope nothing eclipses this as the story of the century. I certainly hope so, that we don't have anything more awful than this happen. It's likely these days that something more awful could happen in the way of a terrorist activity and so forth, but I'd like to know how you feel. I'd like to know how my listeners feel, and I don't care if you're on the right or the left. I'd like to know if you feel safer now after this happened. You know, we have an administration in power right now that came to power by promising us that they would keep us very safe and that the Democrats could not keep us straight. That's what they promised us. And they said over and over and over again, if John Kerry got elected, it could be a choice between life and death. That's what Dick Cheney actually said. This election could be a choice between life and death. So do you feel safer now? Do you? I don't think I do. I think I feel a whole lot. I don't stay up nights worrying about it, but I feel a whole lot less safe right now than I did before this Katrina thing happened. I did not think the government could possibly be this ineffective and this inefficient. I really had no idea as to the scope of the incompetency of FEMA right now. And do you see any injustice here? Michael Brown's gone. Good old Brownie. He's gone. But his boss, Michael Chertoff, is still there. And Michael Chertoff had every bit as much a hand in this thing as Michael Brown did. So what do you think? Will he be hanging around for very long? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Eric in Vermont. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Great to hear from you, my friend.
Like to talk about your opening statements.
All right.
Given back, the time period. You were going on with this concept of taking the blame, and President Bush is taking the blame, and I would like to know exactly what specifically President Bush is taking the blame for, given that the Army Corps of Engineers had admitted prior to the hurricane that some sandbags should have been built up on the 17th Street Canal Bridge levee and so on and so forth. I would like to know what he is taking the blame for in terms of sitting around playing guitar and having a little bit of cake with Senator McCain. I don't really understand what he is exactly taking the blame for. I don't know if you know what specifically he is mentioned as being culpable for in terms of being responsible for what he should take blame for.
Well, Eric, those words of his, which was a cop-out in the first place, to the extent that the federal government didn't fully do its job right, I take responsibility. You know as well as I know that in his mind, he didn't take responsibility for anything. He doesn't feel culpable or blamed take blame for anything. You know he doesn't. He's just not the kind of guy that's going to do that.
And then I have to ask, okay, we have the senator from Louisiana, and we have the mayor, and we have the governor of Louisiana, and they've kind of like said, oh, I take a certain amount of responsibility for that, and that seems like kind of honest, and they were a little more specific and so on and so forth. I'm really concerned about where the rest of the Democrats, non-Republican people that are the basic rubber stampers of George Bush is great, George Bush is wonderful, and I would like to know what Dems are. I mean, do they really feel that this self-implosive concept of theirs of letting Bush go ahead and that he will self-implode is something legitimate in terms of their strategy in attacking the damage that he has done to our national security? And I just can't figure out why that man can be allowed to ride this little, oh, I take full responsibility. This is not Harry Truman. This is not the buck stops there. And the Democrats are giving him a free pass on it in
the
most
have.
Part.
I couldn't agree more. They really have given him a free pass. I'm so disappointed in the Democrats this week. If they think that, first of all, if the Democrats sit around and do nothing and just expect to get back in office because the other side is so bad that we're going to get elected as the lesser of two evils, that's the wrong way to go. I think there's a huge void, a huge vacuum in leadership in this country right now, and somebody, and it should be a good Democrat, should stand up and take the mantle and run with it and decide that there's going to be some real leadership. And I don't see any leadership anywhere right now, and it's so disappointing.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it's a little bit off topic, but I mean, maybe the American people would like to know that it's predicted economically that China will be the chief exporter by 5 years, by the year 2010, surpassing the United States and surpassing Germany for exports, you know, worldwide and so on and so forth. I mean, we have lost our economic edge. We're sitting there throwing all our whatever we have economically all over the place, and I'm not really sure what the priorities are in this administration, and I'm not really terribly sure what these priorities are in terms of the Democrats, the Republicans, or anybody else. I mean, is money that much of a thing that the Democrats have been, is not as much corporately bought off in terms of their priorities and their votes? I know in this state, I feel as though Senator Jeffords has compromised extremely on that transportation and the energy bill in terms of a trade-off to get 1/300th of all the finances to go along with Vermont. And we don't represent anywhere near a half of that.
Well, look
but,
at Joe.
I mean,
look
it was
at
a good buy-off.
Look at Joe Biden in Delaware on the bankruptcy bill. Tell me that vote wasn't bought lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, in 1982 was the last time we regulated anybody in the credit card industry. I would like to, in finality, give a good cheers all for on Democratic Underground. Bush Eats Beef is a good, very good sleuth, and he gets the award for whatever period of time for being very dedicated to looking for truth on that site.
Well, he's a popular guy on there, and we think Eric. We always respect your opinion as well. To all my listeners, Eric and I go back and forth with a little email here now and then, and he's always got something good and worthwhile to say. And Eric, I thank you for your input.
I'm glad you're still on the air, and you keep going, guy.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Yes. Do I have time? I got time for one more call. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guy, Bush Eats Beef.
Yeah.
I'm humbled.
Well, gee, you had your own fan club on right
oh,
before there.
To Eric.
You got 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
And I'll do it, too.
Yeah, I know you will.
First thing real quick, Joe Biden, okay, he's never going to be elected president of the United States as long as he sits there and says stuff like, Judge Roberts, you and I are doing a kabuki dance because Mr. and Mrs. Johnny Lunchpail sitting on a sofa in you know, middle America watching NASCAR don't know what a kabuki dance is. Okay? The other thing, real quick, is that there are a lot of articles that are out there in the last couple of days about Bush and his second term agenda being threatened by this whole thing, and there was a particularly good one on Newsday today, and when I hang up the phone, I'm going to post a link in your thread on Democratic Underground, talking about things like the national sales tax and all this stuff that he's been salivating over. How could he do that right now?
Oh, you talk about opportunism. This is going to be the greatest time for opportunism in the federal government that you've ever seen. And they're going to take advantage of every little loophole, everything they can use. They're going to do it.
Right. One final thing, then I'll hang up. Bernie Ward on his show the other night talked about how people are swooping down into New Orleans and buying up every piece of real estate they can get, whether it's underwater or not. Talked about one woman who wired a couple million dollars into a realtor's bank account and said, buy every house you can get your hands on.
Wow.
So you want to see the house flippers and speculators down there when Bush starts having his win a free house lottery? It's going to be a bloodbath, guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, listen, have a great weekend, my friend. Take care.
Thanks for your call.
You bet. Bye.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. Speculators are going to go wild. We live on the Gulf Coast ourselves here. We know all about that flipping that's going on right now and so forth. And it's rampant here, and it's going to be rampant in New Orleans, too. You could just bet on that. Glad to have you along with us this evening. We've got a lot to talk about. Wait till you hear the Republican love we're going to have a little later on. And we've got a few comments to make about things that have gone on here locally that you're going to want to hear, too. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM in Fort Myers, Florida.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Ben and Suzanne Williams, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mihef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring 'Em On. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats.
What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my son has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your own. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. You got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. And this is too much for them to die around. In some land that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames@TheGuyJamesShow.com.
Helpful marketing tip number 302. Even though you may be paying for full color, the average person can only assimilate four or five easily. Rather than swashing every word, header, or border in every variation of every color in the rainbow, try choosing two or three solid colors either you like or that represent your business and go with those. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at J2KProductions.com. That's J, the number two, the letter K, Productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at TheGuyJamesShow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. Democratic Radio on the air now.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Ah, you betcha. We're here, and we're glad to be here. We had to be somewhere, and we're glad it's here. I guess that's enough of an intro, isn't it? Yeah. We're glad to have you with us this evening. Our listeners here locally and Wink WNOG and all up and down the coast of Southwest Florida, and our listeners from all over the world. My goodness, it's interesting sometimes to get email from folks from Korea and Norway and Sweden and Denmark and the United Kingdom and Germany and Australia. Where else? Just all over the place. South Vietnam. People that listen to the show, both on Ben Burch's site, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and listen to the show live. It's really interesting to hear from those folks. A lot of them are Americans living abroad, and some of them are people that from other countries. Lots of stuff to talk about tonight. We've got a big stack of things here. We're going to talk about a little bit of Republican love coming up in just a little while. We've got a statement by Rush Limbaugh, lying again. We caught him again. These guys, he's a champion. He really is a champion. We're going to talk about the $2 trillion in hot checks in 5 years that the Bush administration has written, and going to be writing some more over and over and over again. They keep doing it. You know, what really amazes me is that people call these people conservatives. This is the most radical, wild-spending government we've ever had in the history of this country. Just crazy spending money, and they call themselves conservatives. Now, what I want to know is, since this is without question not a fiscal conservative government, what is it that attracts you folks to these guys? Is it these family values? Oh, speaking of family values, yeah. Did you see where, I don't know if I should bring it up or not, but it's just more example of the family values or lack thereof, the Bush family. I see Jeb Bush's boy, what is it, John, got arrested for drunk and disorderly and resisting arrest in Austin, Texas. Now, that's him, and, of course, his sister had a little problem there a couple years ago. Seems like these Bush people have an awful lot of trouble with drugs and alcohol. I don't know. I could be wrong, but it just seems like they haven't set a very good example for the young'uns in that family. So, Yeah, he got arrested in Austin, Texas. Wonder what he was doing down in Austin, Texas. I don't know. Who knows? Probably getting some sort of a political job down there. That's how it works. Well, we're going to go back to the phone, and we're going to talk to Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, do you feel safer?
There actually is. That's what I wanted to talk to you about. And I'll answer your question by asking another one.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. On September 11th, this was 4 years ago, okay, we were told the main problem, the reason why so many firefighters died in the second tower that collapsed, was because the communications were screwed up. Okay,
right.
Now, 4 years later, what's the biggest problem that we had in New Orleans? The communications were screwed up.
You got it.
Okay, we're talking about a country, right now, our country, that is in about $400, $500, $600 billion in debt, a $7 trillion deficit, half of our military in Iraq, big percentage of them now in New Orleans. Okay, what would happen right now if we were to get attacked again?
Oh, God only knows. I hate to think what would happen if we got attacked again right now.
I mean financially. I'm not even talking about loss of life. I'm talking about to our country financially. I'm talking about to our military. In other words, you know, we would have to respond because, you know, obviously, you know, the whole Christian thing about turning the other cheek doesn't apply, you know what I'm saying,
right.
when it comes to these people in office. And not saying that we shouldn't respond, but... You know, if you're asking, you know, do we feel safer? This man has put this country in so much danger, okay, right now, that, I mean, anybody who would, like, logically look at it and say, you know, okay, right now our military is involved in three major operations, actually four when you think about it, Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, and now in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's only so many soldiers we have.
That's right. That's right.
And you know what's funny? It's like during the whole election, Kerry kept coming up with all these ideas. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I remember specifically Bush looking to him and asking him, you know, he keeps saying he's coming up with all these things, but he's not telling you how he's going to pay for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the hypocrisy is so bad. And before I let you go, I just want to talk about one thing that I keep hearing the right-wingers talking a lot about, and that's Able Danger.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like everybody who's sitting at their computer to do a Google search really quick and do put Condi Rice, Able Danger. Okay, and what you will find out is that the reason why Able Danger was terminated is because along with the Al-Qaeda thing they did, they also did a thing about Chinese spies and terrorists, and what they came up with was that Condoleezza Rice possibly was a Chinese spy.
Right.
Okay. And Bill Clinton, seeing that, said, well, that's stupid, and made the whole report irrelevant and terminated the project. And it's funny how they don't bring that up. They don't talk about it. And I'll be honest, the only person who I've heard bring it up is Michael Savage.
Don't listen to him very often. I usually tune in for a few minutes.
Oh, no, for sure. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Sean Hannity keeps going on about Able Danger. Oh, my God, they blew it. But, you know, why not mention that they also said that Condoleezza Rice, in their list, in that super list that they came out with, came up as a Chinese terrorist, a Chinese spy, because of her business ties with China at the time when she was the head of Stanford University.
Well, you know, the Able Danger thing, I think it's smoke and mirrors. Now, the congressman, what is it, Weldon? Now they've been asking for backup for some of the things, statements he's made, and he's coming up empty.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, what's stupid about it is that I don't necessarily not believe it. I just don't like how it's like you're only told one side of it by these people. It's like,
sure.
You know, the purposeful deception. They purposely trying to deceive you. You know what I'm saying? So to make their side look good and make the other side look like if they're trying to hide something. And it's like, it's just funny how that's always left out of the conversation.
Always. And it's an administration of smoke and mirrors. I don't think there's ever been a political administration with less substance than these folks have. It's all been an illusion.
And if you saw Bill Maher last night, he replayed the Bush apology. And if you watch Bush during the apology, I mean, he is squirming.
Oh, yeah.
He is fidgeting. He is trying to do everything. I mean, it looks like a child, you know what I'm saying, who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He's like, it's not my fault. You know, it's everybody's fault.
Yep.
But, you know, so that's our leader, man.
Yeah, he wasn't very impressive this week, I must say. But you know, Julio, there's a certain percentage of people that will never abandon this man. No matter what. If they found out he was guilty of murder, there's a lot of people that wouldn't abandon him. And it's just like this week, we a couple of friends of mine were having an argument, a political argument, with the guy, let's just call him Dave. And they were asking Dave this, what makes you stick with George Bush? What makes you stick with George Bush? And David said, and I know this guy, I don't like him, but I know him. And Dave made this statement, well, the thing, just like a caller we had last week, but the caller didn't quite go this far. It's one of the more stupid statements I think I've ever heard. We had a caller said, well, I like the fact that he, when he makes up his mind to do something, he does it. He's a man, you know, he makes up his mind and he does it. And Dave went on to tell my friends, right or wrong, he sticks with his decision. And, you know, that just blows me away.
Oh, no, yeah, it's wonderful. And it's like, what would give anybody? I'd like, and the first Republican who called you, asked him, what exactly has he done in the last 5 years that gives you any confidence? Okay, that this, he's going to put all of his effort into it and it's going to work out correctly. Why is it every single thing that happens? If something goes wrong, something happens, you know, mismanagement, you know, there's always some excuse, and then it always turns out to be, well, it was just too hard. I mean, how many times do they have to keep telling us, oh, this was the worst disaster in American history? Like, we know that already.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a CYA, you know, like, well, you know, it's just that this was the worst disaster ever, you know? And it's like, it's so stupid, but this thing, the people, they will never hold him accountable. And, you know, I have people in my family who are the same way, and, you know, I just lost my temper with this thing, and I tell them straight up, it seems to me like you people just don't want to admit that you've been deceived and you've been fooled.
Exactly.
Okay? You just don't want to admit it, and I can't understand why. I can't, if you can't look at what's going on right now, it's right in front of your face, okay? It's and what they've done is they've convinced you not to believe your own eyes, to only believe them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't believe anything else. Don't believe anything anybody tells you. If he's a liberal, he's lying. If he's a Democrat, he's lying. I mean, Sean Hannity calls, you know, Democrats obstructionists, yet says that it's their fault. Michael Brown got appointed because they appointed him too fast.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yes.
It's stupid.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
Like, I mean, they call, they say that the judges are unaccountable, they're unelected, and yet they're trying to hold Roberts accountable, and they're criticizing them for asking questions.
Well,
like, what are they supposed to ask him? What is your favorite color? You know, like Schumer said, what's your favorite movie? You know,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, dude, if these people truly believe in what, and they have a majority, and Roberts knows he's going to be appointed no matter what, why can't he say what his agenda is? You know what I'm saying? Why can't he just say, you know what, I don't believe in abortion, I want to get rid of it?
No, he's not going to say. He's not going to say it no matter what.
Right.
He's just
and
not going
because
to.
Because they're trying to deceive everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's the name of the game right now in politics, just to lie and cheat, steal, and deceive. And they're doing a great job of it. Thank you for your call, Julio.
All right, man. Take it
good to hear from you. Yeah, it is amazing when you watch the Roberts hearings. He's not going to say anything meaningful whatsoever. I mean, you know that. I don't know why they bother. It's a big charade, actually. Let's just, I know a lot of my Democratic friends won't like it, but I said, let's just have the vote and get on with it. You're wasting your time. The guy's got the votes to get in, and they're just going to, you know what the problem is. You know darn well what the problem is. It's the overwhelming presence they have in talk radio and on the media. They can make the American public on any given day believe anything they want, to any degree they want, simply because of their overwhelming presence on talk radio and on the media. That is how it works. How many times have you talked to one of your friends, one of your acquaintances, or you've been on a blog, on a website, or you know, participated in a conversation when you heard Rush Limbaugh's talking points come straight out of the box, there they are. And it could be a complete lie, a complete falsehood. Like, Johnny, do you have that guy? Let me just give an example one about Limbaugh talking twice this week. He said that Blanco was, that Bush was begging Blanco to declare an emergency.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency. Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
Yeah, and the fact is that she declared a state of emergency on August the 26th, which was 2 days before Mayor Ray Nagin announced the mandatory evacuation. You know, the call from Bush came on the 28th, and we don't even know what the real content of that call was. But she'd already declared an emergency, and Bush is on, and Limbaugh's on here, and I've heard it. I've heard it a dozen times this week. Simply because Rush Limbaugh got on the air and said it, that made it a fact to a lot of people, and they've been mouthing those words of his all week long. It's the... You got to play that again.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency. Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
And she'd already done it on the previous Friday, 2 days before Limbaugh's even talking about here. So, since Limbaugh says it to 20 million listeners, then all of a sudden it's a fact. And I've had it thrown at me. One time after another this week, it becomes a fact.
Pushkin on the internet wants to know how what happens that apparently governors now have to negotiate for what powers they do or don't get during a natural disaster for the federal government to take over.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the workings of that, but we have heard something about them negotiating back and forth, as I understand it. That once FEMA steps in, Homeland Security and FEMA steps in, they had the ultimate authority, which overrides all local authority. That's how I understand it. And, you know, FEMA was built up to be such a great organization with these political appointees of Bush's running it, and we already know what happened to one of them. FEMA was a total failure in this. And I don't care how you put it. You know, you can put pink feathers on a pig and call it a swan. But it's still oinks and it can't fly, and that's how it is. But yet we were FEMA. It was totally inept, and Michael Chertoff has ultimate blame for that. And here he stands, still ahead of Homeland Security. I won't feel safe in this country as long as that man has that job. I can tell you that much. We got John in Cape Coral.
In Fort Myers.
Oh, in Fort Myers. Hi, John. So,
but, well, you know, it's interesting. Right off the bat, the Wall Street Journal had an article regarding if you can send federal troops into southern states. And after the Civil War, they passed a law you couldn't do that. So they're dealing with that and a bunch of other red tape that's on the books where the governors and the presidents and everybody involved, they all have a little territory they want to protect and don't want to give up. But, you know, I was amazed. I heard an interview on public radio of a FEMA official who's down in the lower echelons. His job is to pass the information up the ladder. And he said on Saturday morning, when right before he left, apparently this guy works the night shift and the weekends, he faxed and emailed Brown and the Chernoff about this situation, and with enough information that when he came back into work that night, he was surprised that there weren't any people there that you would have called up in a situation that demanded it. And he says, these guys work at home. They have their computers at home. They have their Blackberries and all this bull crap to communicate. But apparently Chernoff and Brown must have been golfing or something. They never checked their emails. They never checked their Blackberries, which I have a problem with. Communication devices named after fruit. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's as if for 48 hours that nobody in the federal government had any idea what had happened there.
And I believe from this guy's story that these jackasses didn't, because they build these ivory towers and they get the weekend off. I don't know about you, but I'm working three quarters of the day from about 7 a.m. till about 11 p.m. at night. And I own my own business, so I'm working 7 days a week. These guys in Washington, they've got the luxury of taking off, going here, going there, not looking into stuff. But we've got so many means of communications now. This was part of the screw-up, one of the many facets of this little gem. What the hell's wrong with a phone call to a guy to make sure he gets the message?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is part of this breakdown. And then I find out from a friend, guess what? The mayor of New Orleans used to be a Republican.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you confirmed that, because I was asking my friend, where did you get this information? I want to be sure what I'm talking about. So, you know, I guess it's like politics here. All our commissioners are Republicans, but you know what they used to be? Democrats.
Well, that's how it works here, yeah.
And so, of course, I'm a registered independent, so I'm not able to vote for hardly anybody until I get to the general election, and then I might find somebody there that I could vote for. But we have such a corrupt system in this country, and it's time for the Democrats and the Republicans to stop and realize it's not my party's better than your party. It's we have to do things for this country that are going to benefit the population, do good government, which we don't have good government. What was that speech that Bush gave? Was that the FDR speech or the Lyndon B. Johnson speech or the Herbert Hoover speech? I have heard this crap so much in my life, and it's a shame to get old because you hear this stuff over and over again. Stupid politicians saying stupid things.
Well, that was the speech that I'm going to tell you what you want to hear because I know you'll believe it.
Yeah, and we're going to help you rebuild. Don't know where the money's going to come from. Going to take it out of other programs. Hey, I got a program you could take it out of. How about taking it out of Iraq?
Yep.
Nobody made an eyebrow about $300 billion for a needless, useless war in Iraq to change a government that I don't really give a damn about. But now we're hearing commotion about, well, we can't be giving money to New Orleans. We can't be giving money to Alabama. We can't be giving money to Mississippi.
Right.
But these are our own people, for criminy sakes. And here we have these people over in Iraq that they could care less about us, and I could care less about them. And I resent the fact that we don't even know how many of our men are killed over there now. All I can do is take a guess at about 2,000 right now.
Right, right.
And America, wake up. We have some of the poorest people that we've elected to govern us that you could possibly get. How can you be proud of these people? How can you say, well, I support Bush? Well, because you're a loyal Republican, you're going to support a thief in the night? Come on, get real.
I've been a loyal Democrat all my life, but I got to tell you something. When Lyndon Johnson was in office, I didn't, I know I'm going to make some of my Democratic friends mad, but I didn't care for Lyndon Johnson, and I didn't back a lot of things Lyndon Johnson. He did some good things.
I wish somebody would print this one up on this administration. I have a comic book that was printed during the Lyndon Johnson administration. I'll have to look up the title, but it was about guns and butter. And that's what I heard again on this speech here. And it's a cartoon how they're dressed in Superman costumes and they think that they can do everything and they're the be-all, end-all, know-all, I'm right guys. And they're not. They're none of those things. And Republicans, wake up for God's sakes and start being critical of this man. He's leading you down a path you just don't want to go to. You don't want to see what's going to happen after this man leaves office. This country's $800 trillion in debt. Does that mean anything to you?
$800 trillion? I think you're a little high on that. Yeah, I think you're a little high on
that. We haven't reached it yet. That's our debt ceiling.
But
we're working to get there.
We're a lot in debt, that's for sure.
Yeah.
John, I
got to
move on.
Man.
Thank you for your call. Where is the political leadership? I'm ashamed of the political leadership. I've said it over and over and over again. I'm not happy with the Democratic leadership right now. Not at all. Wasn't pleased with the response I heard out of them this week. Where's the initiative from the Democrats in what we need to do right now? Where is it? I don't hear it coming out. And you know what? If we want to win elections, we've got to come forth and show the people something. We just can't say we're not them. That's not going to do it. We've got to have somebody stand up and be a man or a woman and take the bull by the horns and get some policies and procedures and things that we need to do out there in front of the public that addresses the needs and wants of this country. We just can't have you standing in the background like the Democrats have been doing lately, paying lip service to this whole thing. I don't appreciate the way the Democrats acted this week. Not at all. Going to Arnie in Fort Myers. Hi, Arnie.
Hey, how you doing? You know, Donald Trump was on Jay Leno the other night. Did you happen to see that?
No, I didn't.
He was saying that the Bush administration were really a bunch of stiffs because of his high oil prices. He said that if he could send some of his big, heavy-hitting business guys over to Saudi Arabia, he could get the gas prices below a dollar, he told me. He told the audience and everything. It was just amazing how he was really disgusted with what's going on in Washington.
I'm surprised. Of course, he's always been kind of a Republican-leaning guy, but, you know, there's a guy that'll tell it like it is.
Oh, yeah, and he sure did. He said that he wished he could go over there right today.
because he would definitely get them oil prices lower. He said that we're protecting Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
and they're treating us like, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, when Bush first ran for office, they asked him about high oil prices, what would happen, and he said, well, he knew how to jawbone the Arabs over there about the oil. Well, he hadn't done a thing. Nothing. Zero.
No, it's just, I'm going to like Donald Trump more and more since I heard that. And, he's more of actually an independent than a Republican.
Yeah, I just want to hear the truth from him. That's all. That's all I want. I want to hear the truth. Arnie, thanks for your call, and
no
thanks
problem.
For your comment. Good to hear you. We're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour, coming up on that right now, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, and hey, don't forget, I got some Republican love coming up in a little while, and some other comments you're going to want to hear, so don't miss the fireworks.
This is the Guy James Radio Network. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at J2KProductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Ursetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
This might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? My creation!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2. One.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access granted.
Calibrate digital audio.
Press it, equalize it, add echo.
Setup complete. Initiate transmission.
The Guy James Show. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501-0203-04. Right now and chime in. Now it's time for you to pull up a chair. Sit back and enjoy a few moments of Republican love.
Ah, yes. Are you ready for a few minutes of Republican love? Johnny wasn't ready, but I guess we're going to do Republican love. We got the orchestra ready. Are they ready? Let them play. They're a bunch of slackers. There they go. There they go. We don't pay them enough. Frankly, we pay them, you know, scale, and that's not very good nowadays. Well, as some of you may or may not know, we get letters here on the show, and we get email, and we get letters, and most of them are from our Republican friends. We get some from our good Democrat friends, and we appreciate them, but those usually make too much sense to read during this segment of the show. So we go and pick out some of the letters that we think would entertain you and show the world the very finest that the conservative movement has to offer. And so right now I want to give you a few minutes of Republican love. The first letter today starts out, "Dear Fool." Now I can tell right there that this is an adversarial letter. I just gave it away, "Dear Fool. I heard you making fun of that guy who called last week and stated a fact that everyone but you seems to know. Bill Clinton did sell military secrets to the Chinese. You are obviously very stupid. He also had many people killed to save his ass from persecution from Ken Starr." I think he meant to say prosecution, but that was an error there that fit very nicely. Persecution from Ken Starr. "He sold dope, raped many women, and sold those secrets to the Reds. What else do you want to know, fool? Next time someone calls you, have the facts. So don't say you don't." I think he meant to say you have the facts. That's Calvin from beautiful downtown Alva, Florida. Thank you very, very much. Next letter. No salutation on this one at all. It goes right into the meat of it. "I think it's very mean of you to make fun of Rush Limbaugh because of his tragic addiction to painkillers. It is well known that Rush has a medical condition requiring pain medicine, so how can you smear him for that?" This letter is from Sherry. Sherry, actually, I'm not the one that started that. He admitted himself after losing his hearing. He took so many painkillers that it ruined his hearing, if you'll recall. And now, I'm no expert, but I would think that any smart guy might have quit before going deaf, if you know what I mean. She goes on to say, "You need to be more compassionate toward Mr. Limbaugh, for he has conquered this addiction. I don't know, Sherry. Have you heard, listened to him lately? The stammering and the stuttering and the uncontrollable laughing. Listen, Sherry, you can, like I said, you can glue pink feathers on a pig, but it still can't fly. Next letter, Mr. James. Now, see, now that's more like it. I feel the respect there that I deserve, that I command. Yes, command. "The letter you read last week from the guy in Norway was a disgrace." And by the way, I got a very nice letter from the gentleman in Norway that wrote that. He appreciated us reading the letter. But this person here didn't like the letter. He said it was a disgrace. "Who cares if he doesn't think we aren't the greatest nation on earth? Who cares what he thinks?" Well, you know, if it were only him, then I wouldn't worry too much. But he seems to have millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people agreeing with him. And as an American, that hurts me. It does. And that'll hurt you, too. He goes on to say, "Some stupid Norwegian know-it-all doesn't matter a damn to me, nor does the opinion of any of the slime balls living outside this great nation." Oh, now there's an endearing phrase for all of our friends listening from outside the borders of this country. But you want to know what? The right-wingers in this country, that's exactly what they think. If you're not American, by God, you're slime ball. Yeah. If you don't have one of them big flags in the back of your pickup truck and them big knobby tires and a shotgun in the back window of your truck and you got it jacked up 6 feet off the ground, you ain't no American, by God. That's how it is where I live. How is it where you live? See, you are a traitor and a seditionist. Now, there you go, right there. We know he's been listening to Mike Savage. There's nobody that likes to use the word seditionist like Mike Savage. I don't think anybody even knew what it meant until Mike Savage explained it to him. You're a traitor and a seditionist and should be hanged or shot for reading that letter. I would be glad to pull the trigger or trip the trap door and watch you squirm and shake while the life flows out of you, you dirty, treasonous bastard. Wow, what a letter. You feel the love? The whole studio in here, I can tell, I mean, they're swooning over this. They feel the love. I think this guy means it. He must be listening to Mike Savage too much. So Savage is going to do that to you, you know. And this is from Jim. I was wondering, Jim, would it be all right if I got a trial before you hang or shoot me? Would you give me that much? Why do I get the impression you'd like to hang and shoot me? I don't know. I could be wrong. Next letter here. James, you are very obviously a little wimpy coward who is afraid to say what you say in public. Well, obviously, mister, you haven't seen a picture of me lately if you think I'm a little wimpy coward, okay? You have to hide behind a microphone because you don't have the nerve to publicly call our great president a fool in public. Sure I do. I've called him a fool in public lots of times. And I'll say, you know, okay, he's a fool in public, and he's a fool in private, too. So, there you go. Here you go. He goes on with the letter. I dare you to meet me, M-E-A-T, to meet me at the Edison Mall. For those of you outside of Fort Myers, the Edison Mall is our local mall here in Fort Myers. I dare you to meet me at the Edison Mall on Tuesday afternoon. You know, I'm not going to give you the details this guy gives. I don't want a bunch of you coming on down there. And as for being a little wimp, I really don't. We're going to have to get a picture out to this guy right away. Wow. All right, last letter. We got one more here. I knew you would blame the hurricane on President Bush. You're so predictable, and that makes you look absolutely foolish. President Bush has nothing to do with the weather, and when you accused him of altering the weather because of the Kyoto Treaty and causing these bad hurricanes, I about lost it. Well, I'm real sorry, Paul, but I never said that. In fact, I never said anything remotely close to what you're just describing here, so you must have heard that someplace else. And it goes on to say, it's just like you, commie fag, pinko, queer Nazi bastards, that's a mouthful right there. To say such things about our president. Huh?
Was it hyphenated?
No, it was not hyphenated. He did use a comma after. You commie, fag, pinko, queer, Nazi bastard. To say such things about our president. Fags like you can go to hell any time now. I hope you die, you pig. Well, you know, makes me want to cry. I get emotional when I read something like this. It just, you know, to know that somebody loves me that much. And that's a few minutes of Republican love, and wasn't it nice?
This has been a few moments of Republican love.
You know, before I go on with the all the sponsors and whatnot, I just want to. I think I should probably try to validate. I'm a Republican, and I produced a show, but I don't remember you ever. I listen to the tape like usually Monday morning when I go through for the best of stuff, and I don't remember you ever saying that.
I heard that someplace else. I didn't say it. Well, never said it.
I hear you.
Innocent.
We at the Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show.
We got a bunch of names to talk about this week. I want to thank Ronald Q. I want to thank Mary Heesacker. Thank you very much. Also want to thank Teresa Avalon. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to do the show this week. I want to thank Anton Rochek, also Judy Armstrong. I want to thank Donna Greathouse. Thank you very much. We appreciate your contributions. Marie Nelson, Robert Divale, Ventura Barada, Tim Lyman. We already said Anton, but we'll say it again. Anton Rochek, Lawrence Nader, Catherine O'Hara, Eric Jaffa. Thank you. Joanne Mason. Thank you very much. Elizabeth Dawson. Thank you, sweetheart. All the different grants and whatnot that we get from various supporters, Jeffrey Hales, Martha Scott, Patricia Levin, Edward Pierce, Leslie Alexander, Nancy E. Mrazek, also Kelly Messina, Elinda Davis, John Jarvis, Alan Brooks, Susan O'Donnell, thank you, William Allen, thank you very much, Caroline Lurk, Gary Kunha, Ronald L. Kalila, are different people throughout the internet. James Lyko, as well as Democratic Underground. I want to thank you guys for all the support you give us constantly. Ed and Janice Stowell, Laurel Pastor, Iris Abel, Ed Barnard, thank you. Flo Beckler, thank you very much. Dale Danford, Ed Ryan, Peter Nishanian, Joe McGuire, Margaret Rizzle, Dick Nojek, Hilda Perry, Mary Kate Ferreira, Shannon Danford, and Carolyn Estogish. I want to thank every single one of you for your support. The Guy James Show wouldn't be able to be brought to you. A lot of people think that we have miles and miles of advertisers, but that's just not the case. Literally, the listeners who listen to the show, both locally and on the internet, are the only support that we have.
To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Oh, yeah, I know you'll do it. Yes, indeed. We need those donations coming in to stay on the air. We thank every one of you. I want to repeat what Johnny said. Thank you very, very, very much. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. It's a toll-free call, folks. And we're going to go to the phone. Let's talk to Rich in Venice, Florida. Hi, Rich.
Good evening, Guy. How are you this evening?
Very good, thank you.
Good. Hey, just an aside, you might want to do a fingerprint check on those negative letters you're getting. They may be coming from your staff.
No, I don't think so.
But on to more serious subjects. This Blanco request and all, I think you're diluting your poor innocent, mostly liberal listeners to your program, because you're an intelligent guy. You know very well that the governor failed to do the official request to Mr. Bush for federal help, which has to be passed according to American law, which you may not agree with, has to be passed by Congress. And Congress met, when she finally relented and asked after the flood, Congress met and gave President Bush the authorization. You also know, by the way,
no. I'm not in agreement with what you're saying so far. You're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you are.
No, absolutely not.
No, Kathleen Blanco declared a state of emergency in Louisiana on Friday the 26th.
But President Bush declared a state of emergency in Louisiana before the hurricane hit. That doesn't matter. By law, by the Constitution, a governor has to make a formal request. I know.
She did that at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning, August the 20th. I have the timeline right in front of me. At 5 a.m. Are you going to talk or am I going to talk? Here's the deal on the show. We have a two-way conversation.
All right.
At 5 a.m. on Saturday, August the 27th, Governor Blanco asked Bush to declare a federal state of emergency in Louisiana. She said, and I quote, "I have determined that this incident is of such severity and magnitude that effective response is beyond the capabilities of the state and affected local governments, and that supplementary federal assistance is necessary to save lives, protect property, public health, safety, or to lessen or avert the threat of a disaster." That's at 5 a.m. Saturday morning, August the 27th.
All right. I'll go along with that. Then what?
The federal government has to
request, if you'll let me speak for a moment, has to formally request the president to allow the National Guard from other states into the state, which she failed to do until Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't have the exact timeline, but after the hurricane and after the flood began. She wavered. She didn't want to give up control and allow the feds to take over, and constitutionally she had to make the request, and Congress, not President Bush, had to review it and pass it, which they did, the following morning when they met, in order to authorize federal troops. Now it's red tape, but it happens to be constitutional and the way it has to be done. We're a nation of laws, not men.
I don't know of any place anywhere where there's any information that says that Congress had to okay this.
Really?
I have not seen that.
And you're not as an educated a man as I thought you were.
Really?
Yes, because if you check your LexisNexis, you will find that Congress met on that Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. I'm not sure of the timeline. They met and voted to allow the National Guard to go in.
Well, if she asked for it, let me ask you, if she asked for it on Saturday, August the 27th at 5 a.m., why did they meet till Tuesday? Why did they wait till Tuesday?
Well, you'll have to ask your congressman about
that. Let me ask you this. Who's the CEO of this outfit?
The CEO of this
Yeah,
outfit?
Who runs the show in this country right now?
The people. Well, I'm sorry.
Goodbye. Goodbye. The people, my ass, run this country right now. We've got a cabal in Washington, D.C. right now. Now, there's a guy that has no idea what he's talking about, and there's what I'm talking about right there. People call with information they've gotten from Limbaugh and from Hannity and people like that, and, you know, it goes nowhere. But the people aren't running this country right now.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Someone, Pushkin on the Internet, brought up that Homeland Security and FEMA, I believe it's by their most recent charter. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, correct me, because that's what I want to know. Aren't they allowed by their new charter to anywhere where there is a natural disaster of any kind or disaster, aren't they allowed to just walk in?
Absolutely. That's where the guy was absolutely wrong. The federal emergency, once a federal emergency was declared, DHS and FEMA are given full automatic authority to respond to a disaster like that. Specifically, FEMA is authorized to identify, to mobilize, and to provide, and as it said in the dictum here, provide at its discretion equipment and whatever resources necessary to alleviate the impacts of this emergency. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and argue that there's no blame to go around other than FEMA and Homeland Security and George Bush. I'm not going to say that. I haven't said that from the very beginning. I believe Blanco was partly at fault. I believe Mayor Ray Nagin was partly at fault. I believe there's a lot of blame to go around, but ultimately, if he wants to be a man about it, if he wants to stand up and start saying, I take responsibility, then he should do so. Mr. Bush is the CEO of this country right now, this company, this big company that is the country. And he had the authority, he had the resources behind him to do virtually anything he wanted in that situation, and he didn't. Most of the blame goes to the federal government here. As certainly, I have not implied or said that local and state people are without blame in this. They most certainly have some. Most certainly. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good evening.
Hello.
I'm the person, I guess, who has called the local talk show that Diane spoke about.
Oh, yeah. The much maligned John from Cape Coral.
Yeah, sometimes called Cape Coral John on your local station here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who they don't like.
Well, you must...
Because I have the gall to criticize the president.
Really?
Yes.
Meet someone does that where we live here? That's hard.
I do.
Oh, my. That'll get you in trouble around here, John.
I am in trouble. I'm your Connie Pinko.
Well, you know, wear it proudly, John. I've been accused of it many times myself.
Well, at least I know I'm in good company, sir. I just want to know that you're the only one with Republican love. Some of it coming over the same radio station from people who host radio shows.
Yeah, well, yeah. I tell you what, John, mine's a little fresher than yours. I'm a commie, what does it say? Commie, pinko, fag, Nazi-loving bastard. So you got a ways to go to catch me.
I'm working on it.
You sure are.
Your last gentleman spoke about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the local Republican club, according to the a local paper here, the Cape Coral Daily Breeze, I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
At Saturday at the library has set up a booth for Constitution Week to make people more familiar with the U.S. Constitution. Now, if I listen to your caller, Republican love callers, and to this local group, the only ones who seem to know anything about the Constitution are Republicans. Is that correct?
That's right.
May I ask you a question, sir?
I think they wrote and produced the whole outfit, yeah.
If they believe in the Constitution, Should we then not be at war, since according to the Constitution, only Congress has a right to declare war, Article 1, Section 8?
That's how it works.
Or am I missing something, sir?
Well, our last caller, though, John, I see that this whole thing is really messed up somehow, because the last caller said the people were in control here, and as you know, the people don't want this war, but we are at war. So imagine that.
Well, the people through their Congress have never voted a declaration of war, which is what Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution says, and I dare any Republican to tell me otherwise.
That's right, and I dare any Republican to tell me that this war is with favor with even the folks in the run-of-the-mill Republican, cross-section of Republicans right now. It is not, people are not in favor of this war.
And it's also not constitutional.
No. Nope.
The other thing, which is now going to be a huge debate, is the whole issue which is emanating out of the courts of California, and I guess we'll go to the Ninth Circuit Court, is the issue dealing with the question of under God and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. That's, well, John, you know those, that Ninth Circuit, there's a bunch of commies, too.
Yes, 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 yes. And you still allow me on your show, sir.
Has anybody taken more flack than the Ninth Circuit? I wonder. I don't think so.
Well, the First Amendment talks about separation of church and state and not establishing religion. When we are told by government that we must believe in God, doesn't that establish religion?
That's my way of thinking it does.
Now, how would some of these diehard neocons like it if they substituted the words under Allah?
Yeah, well, not too well, I don't think. I don't think they'd care much for that. I could be wrong, but I don't think they'd love it very much.
And yet, I mean, I know that we're called commie and all these other things when we have the nerve to suggest this is what our Constitution says. But it's very, very clear on it that Congress cannot establish it, and yet they've established it.
Exactly right. I agree.
And it would seem to me to be appropriate if we wish to have a Pledge of Allegiance. By the way, we all want to pledge allegiance to a flag, and I'm not sure that the flag itself is all that important. It should be the ideas behind the flag. But we want to pledge allegiance. Why must we say under God?
Well, that's a good question, John. I can't argue with that. I can't. I myself... For me personally, I will say it, and that's okay with me. But I don't want somebody else to have to say it. I respect everybody's rights. I respect all of their rights on that. I do.
Well, my problem is when you said you will say it, we're put into a situation where we have to say the words. And we have to be told we must believe. You cannot be an atheist. You cannot be an agnostic. Basically, you must be Judeo-Christian. You could not even be a good Islamic person in this country or a Buddhist person in this country.
Well, I suppose if you said under God, you could mean Allah, or you could, if your God was Buddha, or you could think that way.
You could think that way, but that's not what it says.
That's not the intent, no.
And the intent of the framers of the Constitution was to say everybody has a right to make their freedom of choice. And the concept, I remember during World War II, and I'm old enough to remember, I was young at the time, but people were fighting, and one of the basic freedoms of this country was freedom of religion. Well, if you have freedom, then you have the right of individual choice, and we're not a theocracy where the country or the government can tell you whether you should go to church, you should not go to church, whether you should believe in a God, whether you should not believe in a God. You had a right of individual choice.
So true.
And to me, and I have a question about it, and maybe I'm a commie as a result because these people love to label you if you say this, but I believe if this country believes in freedom, and that is a word that we supposedly, freedom and liberty are the things we're fighting for. If we have this freedom and we have this liberty, the government should not be telling me how I should believe. It should not prevent me from believing. It should not prevent me from going to the church of choice, but it should not tell me how I should believe.
That's exactly why my family left jolly old England in 1685.
Well, I think it left a lot of other European countries
yeah.
at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a feeling this is going to be beaten down, but, you know, I think the word freedom is a key word here, Guy. And the Constitution is a key word. And if the Republicans want to embrace the Constitution, let them embrace every facet of the Constitution and not selectively.
Well, they want restrictions on freedom, and freedom is freedom. And, you know, they want some restrictions that go beyond the pale in some instances. John, I got to move along.
By the way, abortion would be another one of them, sir.
Yes.
Because people and women should have that freedom of choice.
That's another thing I'm going to get in trouble for,
but I just wanted to insert that as well. Well, sir, thank you for the time.
Thanks for your call, John. We got a lot to cover. We got a minute or so until the top of the hour. We got so much to cover this last hour of the program. I hope you'll give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Someone wrote me an email today and asked me, what are they going to do about George W. Bush's presidential library? What are they going to have in it? If they got a shelf for all the books he's read, is it going to have a couple of comics and a weekly reader? What's going to be on there? We all know that he's not a big fan of reading. I sent back third grade reading, said, okay. I sent back and said, instead of a regular presidential library, why not a presidential penny arcade? The guy doesn't like to read. He likes to play. And so why not a great big presidential game room or an arcade? I think a big video store, presidential video store. I think that'd be cool. In his case, it'd be quite appropriate as well. Hey, you're listening to The Guy James Show. We're glad to have you along with us this evening. We're on WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM in Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. And stick around because we got a lot to talk about.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of The Guy James Show is on the way. This is The Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Ben and Suzanne Williams, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mehef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats.
What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary?
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your own. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. He's got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. And this is too much for them to die with. In some land that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
We're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
Helpful marketing tip number 302. Even though you may be paying for full color, the average person can only assimilate four or five easily. Rather than swashing every word, header, or border in every variation of every color in the rainbow, try choosing two or three solid colors either you like or that represent your business and go with those. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is the Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes. Back for the final hour of the program. We've got a lot to fit into this last hour, and I hope you'll give us a call, 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504. It's our nickel. So do give us a call. We're always glad to have you join in and get your thoughts out on the program. Somebody from Democratic Underground, Kat Shrink, wrote that My Pet Goat, the book, would have to be included in the Presidential Bush Library, or Arcade, whichever it is we're going to call it. All right? I think that's a good one. We all know about My Pet Goat, Mr. Bush's favorite book. I read so much this week, especially after Mr. Bush's speech this week, and where he's just going to go out and throw money at everything. In a just society, which until this current gang of neocons took over was our goal as a nation, to have a just society, there need not be a group of permanent economic losers like we have seen in New Orleans. Our society, our civilization, our government, really this great country has the capacity, I think, to promise a living wage to every American. And the code word there is living wage to every American. The basic Christian values that everybody always talks about, the Christian value of sharing, was something that America used to believe in. Helping your neighbor, sharing your abundance with those who have too little. Franklin Roosevelt used to love to talk about that. We don't measure progress by those who have too much, but by those, rather by how well we take care of those who have too little, was the quote from Franklin Roosevelt. those were the traits we used to have in this country. Our union movement way back then, helping to, you know, take care of each other, the Social Security, that's why it was formed, the WPA, unemployment insurance, all of those things, in my, to my way of thinking, have helped us achieve what I mean by a just society. The great middle class prospered because of all of these things I've mentioned. But our society has changed, and it's now tilted vastly toward the wealthy. Now, the middle class is rapidly disappearing, that's no secret, and it will eventually vanish altogether because the flow of wealth is no longer from the top down. It is now flowing from the bottom up, and indications seem to me it doesn't seem to be any end to that trend in sight. Quite the contrary, our present group of leaders are doing all in their power to keep the money flowing into the pockets of those who already have more than they can use. No one's ever done that better than this administration. And capitalism and the entrepreneur spirit are wonderful things. But unadulterated greed is quite another thing, and I think we're seeing that now. We're going to see a lot of that down in the Gulf Coast area. Junior Bush's lame speech the other evening didn't surprise me one bit. He did what a rich fraternity boy always does when he gets in trouble. He buys his way out of it, whatever it is. The problem is, he's using our bank accounts to buy his way out of his trouble. And the Republicans always accuse the Democrats of, you know how they love to say that, how the Democrats want to redistribute the wealth. But the difference is that when the Democrats do that, they spread the money around to all the people, or try to anyway. When the Republicans do it, they keep it all for themselves, for the select few. And just you wait till all this shakes out. The insurance companies, they're starting already. They're starting to balk at paying claims using the flood excuse. Of course, the flood had everything to do with the wind pushing the water into the lake, which ultimately caused the levees to fail. They're going to run roughshod over their customers, as per usual, with the blessing of this administration. You know that already. That's a given. And those companies who end up with a massive amount of money being poured into the area will undoubtedly end up in the hands of companies like Halliburton and Bechtel and the like. And, of course, those fine corporate folks will make sure that some of that money ends up back in the pockets of the Republican politicians who gave them the business in the first place, and so it goes. You know, the Republicans have no intention of making their rich, fat cat friends sacrifice anything at all during these tough times. And it's tough in these times for more reasons than just Katrina right now. The idea that we can sustain Bush's war, spend money like drunken sailors, as in this latest appropriations bill that you've seen, and rebuild the North Gulf Coast area without doing away with a tax cut is absurd. These people always accuse the Democrats of tax and spend, but the Bush gang wants to spend absolutely wildly and worry about paying for it later, and that's going to lead us to economic ruin. Like I said, in the last couple of years, they've written $2 trillion worth of rubber checks. I really believe they should buy some new printing presses for the Mint. Really. So, we're going to go to Dennis in Fort Myers right now. Hi, Dennis.
Howdy do.
Hi.
I just started listening to you about 3 weeks ago, and I am a Republican.
All right, you're allowed.
Okay. Well, that's nice to know. You know, you said about Bush's library having comic books.
Yeah.
Well, give everybody a roll of quarters and let them go out and look at Clinton's library.
Yeah, do they have something in there that takes quarters?
Well,
I've been there, so, and I haven't seen anything that takes quarters.
Okay. Hey, another thing I want to ask about you. When had a president ever have to face what Bush did? The first time in 4 years, and then what happened this last week? When has a president ever had to do that?
Oh, he's had a lot on his plate, I admit that. But he also made part of the trouble himself, going into the war with Iraq after this. That didn't have to be on
his
plate.
Well, the sad thing is we're in there.
Yeah, we are.
And not a damn thing we could do about it.
Oh, I think there is.
I'll tell you what makes me mad. I think we ought to go over there and take a whole bunch of ships over there, tankers, and load them up with oil and bring them over to us. We're over there fighting to get for this the petroleum, they say, and everything. We should go, and they're supplying the whole world with petroleum.
Yeah, that area is certainly important.
And Saudi Arabia, I tell you, my grandson went in, he joined the Army when he got out of school, and he's up in Alabama, learned to be a helicopter pilot. And I said to him one time, I said, John, I wouldn't even go in, because if you've got, I can't see over in Saudi Arabia what we did for them people, and they are really sticking it to us right now. And this is getting terrible. I was watching TV last night, and I saw a lady that she filled up her tank and had the bill was $72.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you know, they interviewed her afterwards, and that was their food money for this next week, and that really is a damn shame.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a real cramp on the style. And you know, it's gonna hurt business in this country terrible. I know a lot of small businesses are getting hurt by it already. People are staying home.
Well, you gotta. Hey, and you take people like me on Social Security. I don't have a chance to go out and work an hour more overtime or anything like that.
Sure. Sure.
And the sad thing is, it's bringing up all the prices in the stores. And even if that gas does go down, we'll still be paying like we were paying $3 a gallon.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The price of gas is just part of it. Yeah.
And I listened to Sean, and I listened to Rush. Sean said one night about out in the state of Washington, they should do away with their state tax on gas to bring the price down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
I don't know how much the state tax is.
32 cents a gallon.
Yeah, well, then the state's gonna
lose it.
Yeah, the state's gonna be hurting for money. Yeah.
Hey, it really nice talking to you.
Hey, thanks for calling, Dennis.
Next time I call you, I'll think of something better to argue about.
Thanks for calling, Dennis.
Uh-huh, bye.
Well, there's a very proper and respectful gentleman, and it's a pleasure to talk to him. We talk to folks on the right quite often. In fact, we even have friends that are on the right. Yeah, we do. The only thing is, and I don't want to say this too loud, we have friends that think they're on the right, and they're really not. And the only thing we have to do is convince them that they got the terminology mixed up. They're really on our side. That's how it is, but we'll talk to them about that. We will. We've got a lot to go on the show here. We'd love to have you call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Do you think that George Bush, being probably the lamest of lame duck presidents now, he's got, what, 3 years and 3 years and 3 months to go in his presidency, his second term as president, do you think the country can even function when we got a man in office with as little support as he has right now? Because I think his support is bottoming out. He's always going to have, evidently, 36, 37, 38% of the people that will be behind him no matter what. And, you know, secretly, some of those people, if they just could find it in their hearts to admit it, some of those people aren't really behind him. But once he understands the gravity of the situation, once he understands that that he no longer has the support of the American people and even much of his base, do you think he'll resign? I certainly think that's something that he ought to consider, because he's going to leave a legacy. I said almost 5 years ago that this presidency, knowing what I knew about George W. Bush, I wanted to give him a chance. But knowing what I knew about George W. Bush and his past and his political history and his upbringing and the whole business, I said that he would go down in history as the worst president, the worst presidency in our history. And so far, I feel more confident in that statement than I did when I first made it. I think he's done everything to prove me right. I don't think he's done anything to prove me wrong so far. We've gotten involved in a war that we have no business being involved in. We've lost a couple of thousand lives there. We now know that since 9/11 that our Homeland Security Department is a disaster waiting to happen. We now know that if something serious in the way of a nuclear, biological, or chemical big dirty weapon or whatever would go off in this country in a major metropolitan area, that Well, we know that the government wouldn't function very well right now. We know that. I am not happy about that. I don't say that happily. I wish Mr. Bush hadn't, absolutely wrecked FEMA when he came into office and got rid of some good people out of FEMA and put in all of his cronies in there. That was a really, really poor thing to do. And Michael Brown, Michael Chertoff, Homeland Security. And speaking of people that Mr. Bush, I'm looking for a note here I had someplace. His appointments in his government, how much they actually think it, and how much they're interested in putting their lackeys in important positions in the government. They don't care if they got any experience at all. Did you read where a male veterinarian is now the acting director of Women's Health in the Federal Department of Agriculture? Symbolic of the importance the Bush administration places on women's health, a male veterinarian has been appointed by the Food and Drug Administration. Commissioner Lester Crawford, people are having a hard time not laughing around here over that. Commissioner Lester Crawford as acting director of the Office of Women's Health. Norris E. Alderson, Ph.D., has spent the majority of his career at the FDA holding various positions in the Center for Veterinary Medicine. The Office for Women's Health, which ensures that the FDA remains gender-sensitive and monitors the progress of women's health initiatives, was most recently headed by Dr. Susan Wood. And if you remember, Dr. Wood resigned late last month in protest over the FDA's refusal to grant over-the-counter status to emergency contraception. So she resigns, and they put a veterinarian in the head of women's health in the FDA. You gotta wonder, don't you? You gotta wonder who's at the controls. I was shocked when I read that. It's funny, and yet it's deadly serious. I hate to think that this government is that incompetent, but obviously they are. And you would think right after this Michael Brown incident, with him being a horse show coordinator, being ahead of FEMA, you would think that they would think twice about doing something like this. But I'm wondering, is there anybody in the administration that even looks at any resumes? I wonder. But they're just, I don't know. Their incompetence overwhelms me sometimes. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We're going to be right back after this break. We're going to take a break right now? Okay. We'll be right back, and we'll go to the phones as soon as we get back.
This is the Guy James Radio Network. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
We at the Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Ben and Suzanne Williams, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mihef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support the Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Of all the things to focus on, what
is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring 'Em On. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your home. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. We got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die away on. In some land that they don't know about. Every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at GuyJames@TheGuyJamesShow.com.
Helpful marketing tip number 302. Even though you may be paying for full color, the average person can only assimilate four or five easily. Rather than swashing every word, header, or border in every variation of every color in the rainbow, try choosing two or three solid colors either you like or that represent your business and go with those. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at J2KProductions.com. That's J, the number two, the letter K, Productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at TheGuyJamesShow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. Commercials off. This is the Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Steaming toward the end of the show coming up in only about 35 minutes. If you want to give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02 and 03 and 04. Let's go to the phones right away. We got Tom in West Virginia. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
It's good to hear you online, by the way.
Well, I'm glad you're there.
Well, Guy, I heard you say something a little bit ago, and I'd like to make a comment on it, if I could.
All right.
You had mentioned a base of support of Bush, and I've seen numbers bandied about between about 30 and 35%, is those diehard idiots that would follow the man to the grave, want to be buried in the same casket with him if they had a choice. Guy, I think that number might actually over-represent the facts of the matter a little bit, and I'll tell you why. It seems to me that the origin of the number of his base of support, if you look back to where it comes from, people are always talking about when votes are cast, 38% of the electorate would follow him to the grave. Well, Guy, in a country where only about 50% of the people show up at polls, 30% of that electorate comes out to about 15% of the population.
That's good math. You're right.
We're not talking about a hell of a lot of people here driving this train. And the train is obviously on a track that's going to leave it derailed. I mean, there's just no other way to think about it. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, and I really wanted to thank you for being out there. I love to hear your voice in the evening, and I'll get off the line so you can have other people to talk to you. How's that, buddy?
Thank you, Tom. Good to hear from you from the great Mountaineer State of West Virginia.
Well, thank you for being there. Goodbye, guys.
Go Nears. Oh, good to have all of you. College football Saturday. Oh, my beloved Buckeyes took one last Saturday night. Oh, it hurt. Oh, it hurt more than you know. But I don't know how they're doing it right at this moment. I'm not able to watch. Let's take another call before the bottom of the hour. Where are we at here? We're going to talk to Francis in Naples. Hello, are you there?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, something happened. I didn't understand. I love the guy from West Virginia. I used to live there, and I think the West Virginia people are the salt of the earth.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. I love West Virginia. It's a beautiful state, much maligned, and a lot of great people there. They're real. They're real people.
They're real people. I'm Donald originally from Tennessee, and Tennessee has gotten sort of off the track. Now, what I wanted to say to you was that you're a little bit off the track of what the norm thinks about George Bush, because you have educated yourself to the kind of law, the kind of governor he was while in Texas. So after we know what he did in Texas, we should have known what he was going to do in the White House.
Certainly.
He didn't govern there. He just walked around and said, "Hey there," and good job. Heck of a good job. And he's doing the same thing in the White House.
He did a good job executing people in Texas. He's real good at that.
He broke Texas. And Richards left him money.
And you're exactly right about that. They've had financial trouble ever since. And also that boondoggle with the stadium there.
Absolutely.
With the, yeah.
But, you know, for some reason, people don't look at facts of what's happening anywhere. You know, the bankruptcy bill, the transportation bill. We want to build a parking garage in Bozeman, Montana. And Bozeman may have three-story buildings somewhere.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, it's not exactly the thriving metropolis with skyscrapers, I can tell you that.
The same thing with Alaska.
Oh.
I mean, that $52 million for the bridge they don't need.
Yeah, for, what was it, 46 people that live on that island?
No, there's 51, and yeah. I think some of those are babies.
Wow.
51 people, they don't want the bridge either. And, of course, Bozeman, Montana has refused the other money. I guess the Montana people are a little smarter than... But he's going to cram that bridge down the Alaskan's throat, so...
Yeah, definitely.
So be it. Guy, it's wonderful to talk to you.
Well, it's good to have you call the program. We thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour here, and we'll ask everybody on the phone just to wait a couple of minutes. We'll get right back to you. We've got a few things to say yet, and we're going to say them. And we hope you've got a few things to say as well. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We'll be right back after these words.
This is the Guy James Radio Network.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. It's bad. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain can make us too appealing. I'd hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings to. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Karl Rove, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you, what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just that.
What, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something.
WNOG.
Commercials off. This is the Guy James Show on the Democrat Radio Network.
Ah, yes, we're down to only 1/2 hour left of the program tonight. We know you're going to want to join us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We got, what, one line open? And that can be your line if you give us a call right now. We'll be glad to get you on as soon as possible. I always try and correct a mistake. It wasn't a mistake, actually. We got an update. We talked about the male veterinarian being appointed as acting director of Women's Health. That came out early on Friday. They have since updated that and replaced him with a lady, Teresa Toyago, I guess, has taken that office now and is acting director as well. I guess somebody thought, oops, that wasn't such a good idea. So we have the shortest term of an acting director in history, just a matter of a couple of hours there. So I'm glad to be updated on that. Thanks to Catchrink on Democratic Underground. We're going to go now to Jason in Cape Coral. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Guy. How are you?
Great.
Hey, Guy. I've been trying to get through for about 3 weeks, and you had a lot of calls, and I just haven't been able to get through. Every time I listen to your program, it's like a breath of fresh air. I have been watching this entire Katrina disaster, and my hearts go out to those people, and I have been watching that Monday, waiting for people to show up. That Tuesday, waiting for people to show up. Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, start getting water. What this country needs is a president who has some guts, who can lead. This man can't lead. After 9/11, it looked okay for a little while. Since then, he has been a lame duck. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't make any bold initiatives. He just goes on vacation. He doesn't want to be bothered.
You know, you're exactly right, and it's starting to come out now, actually, from aides in the White House and so forth, talking about how detached he is from this job, how he values his private time so much more than he does doing his public work, and that's a shame for the likes of a president.
It's terrible, and he seems like, tell me if I'm wrong, but it really seems like to me how he sets up all his friends, Halliburton, and I know that's the most publicized one, but even here locally, I heard that the guy, if you remember, Guy, when he came down for his 04 reelection campaign and went to that home over here, the guy who runs WCI Community.
Oh, yeah, Al. Let's call him Al.
Al, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I just heard that he got appointed to be the ambassador to Portugal.
I think I heard that as well.
Yeah, and I was like, well, you know, if that's not a pat on the back, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's a pretty good job, ambassador to Portugal. There's not a lot of trouble going on there.
No, it's a cush gig. It's a cake gig.
Yeah.
You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. The whole thing is it's just a huge sham. I even heard today there was a guy, absolutely killed me. He was trying to argue the fact that guy, Mike Brown, or Brownie, did a good job. He said, how did he not do a good job? I was in a call, but I said, you know what, I'm not even going to waste my time.
No,
I'm not
you
even
can't.
Gonna do it.
You can't get into it on that because evidently whoever made that statement to you is one of a half a dozen people in the entire country that think Mike Brown did a good job.
Yeah, maybe half a dozen. You're right,
yeah.
Guy. But I'm so happy that this guy he is just floundering and flopping and falling and tripping and stuttering. He's just a worthless man, and I hope he leaves the White House in disgrace with a Ryder truck real soon.
But you know. If he does, someone reminded me earlier,
yeah,
you know who will be president.
Yeah, I know. I know. 6-1 way half
a
dozen together, huh?
Yeah. It'll be that famous Darth Cheney. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Seems like he's running anyway.
Yeah, he's having surgery. What is it, Monday, today? I don't know. He's having surgery on his leg or something. I don't know.
They're probably replacing his brain.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, okay, thanks for your call.
So much,
good to hear from you. Yeah, you know, he's so right. And we're going to go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hey, Guy. Ohio State 27, San Diego State 6.
All right. We were down 6-0 early, 27-6. Is that a final score?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I feel better.
That's good. I didn't catch the first part of the show because I was watching my Spartans throttle Notre Dame for the fifth
You want to give me that score too?
44-41.
44-41, Michigan State?
Yeah.
Wow, what a game that must have been.
It was exciting.
Oh.
It took me half an hour to calm down enough to call you, Joe.
Well, thanks for the sports update. We're glad to have it, believe me.
Okay. I just want to mention one thing real quick. It seems like really the key to the whole thing about the debacle in government is to make the Republicans really toe the line, is to have a better control of the media, or more evenly especially radio, talk radio, have more of a 50-50 percent. And we talked about this in the past. The thing is how to do it. There was one little story that I only heard it at the beginning, and then I had to turn to Havana Radio to hear the rest of it in the details. It was that on Monday, the day after the storm, Castro had 1,100 doctors in Havana at the airport, with each one with 25 pounds of medications, and most of them spoke English, and he had them ready to help the people in New Orleans, and the people in the State Department said, well, we don't have the logistics. So it seems like the president, and I want to talk about him, but he's a lame duck anyway. I went there, it's more of a problem with the entire administration, the Republican Party, this is, and a lot of the problems in government today, is that the problem here is that they not only dropped the ball, they didn't know how to pick up the ball. And when somebody else trying to pick up the ball, a third world country that was ready, they didn't even allow them.
That's right.
So, to pick up the ball for them, and they could have. These people were equipped to treat, and amongst them, there were specialists. They were equipped to treat high blood pressure, diabetes, dehydration, infection, to suture people up, just to keep those people alive for a week or two until they can be rescued. What was wrong with getting a C-130, taking them to Mobile, and then by helicopter taking them to the dome or to wherever they were needed? That's all, and then you take them out, to send them back home. I think that the reason that this administration did not, and nobody, the media doesn't talk about this, I haven't seen anywhere else, is that they do not want to carry this with the Cuban Americans, who they don't want to lose their vote in Miami. They're very anti-Castro, and they're afraid that if they offend them, the administration, that they will not vote Republican during the next election, and with the 28 electoral votes in a state that is that really it's a crucial for one presidential election, is that they just could not do. So I think it's political, the whole thing, and the Republicans, the minister.
Your phone's kicking out on you, Juan.
I'm sorry. Oh yeah, I have a bad communication. I have a bad phone.
Hey, thanks for calling, Juan. It's good to hear from you.
Okay, thank you, guy.
You know, he's right about the media. For example, this week, CNN this week had three people on one of the shows talk about the Bush speech that night and his job approval numbers. They put four polls up on the screen. This is CNN. The ones everybody accuses of being liberal, they had four polls, and each one of the polls had Bush at 40% or higher. They had Gallup, WSJ, NBC, etc. And then at the bottom, they had an average of the four polls at 42%. But they only used the four polls that had Bush at 40% or higher. They did not report the three polls. It's got Bush at 38, 38, and 39%, Newsweek, CBS, and the American Research Group. And they didn't factor them into the average. Why? I just wonder why that goes on. Good question. We got Tori in Naples. Hi, Tori.
Hi. Listen, I lived down here for about a year. I've been coming down here for a very long time, but I'd never heard you before.
Oh.
So I was interested. Yeah, I listened to talk radio, and like I told your screener, I know everybody's background, but I don't have a clue as to who you are, what your background is, where you're coming from.
Well, I'm from the Midwest.
Where?
I'm originally from Ohio. Isn't everybody down here from Ohio originally? And
no.
I love my Ohio State Buckeyes. I'm from a farm background and a very rural person, and I've held public office
In Ohio?
Yeah, and moved to Florida about, what, 8 or 9 years ago. I forget how long it's been just now, and love it here. And kind of picked up radio again. I worked in radio for many, many years.
In Ohio?
Yes, not always during my life, but from time to time I worked in radio. And when we got down here, we figured something had to be done in this area because there was no representation of the left on radio whatsoever in this area. So we thought it would be something we ought to try.
Okay. So are you? Do you have any background? Are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not. Just worked in communications quite a bit in my life and some consulting, and I've done many things in my life, but I've always enjoyed radio. It's kind of been my first love. Never been anything I went at to make money at. I never looked at it that way. I always looked at it as kind of a public service. Got a big board full of calls here. Tori, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for listening to the program.
Thanks for giving me a little bit of your background.
All right, good to hear from
you. I'm from Illinois, and I'm from a farm background, too.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay.
Us Midwesterners got to stick together, you know.
Oh, all right.
Thanks. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, Mr. James?
Pretty good.
I wanted to say something. Jason, your caller earlier from Cape Coral, was criticizing the president's response, and he started off with saying the president wasn't there on Monday. Well, the hurricane didn't hit until Monday, so, I don't know if the president was supposed to be standing on top of a building, but we all get the facts wrong. I listened to you about a month ago, and I don't remember exactly what the topic was, but you were talking about how you were disappointed with lack of local Democratic Party leadership. And you were talking about how just flat out the Republicans are better at it, at the system, at the machine that is the political process that we've known to loathe and embrace.
They are.
And what I think the biggest problem, and I'm a Republican, I called you last week, but I think the biggest problem the Democrats have is their lack of effectiveness. This man he reviles so much, the President of the United States, George W. Bush, is about to put the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court on to the court.
Yep.
And I haven't heard anything about it from you guys.
What am I going to say? It's cut and dried. He's going to.
I remember your caller, Jason from Cape Coral, said nothing this man does is right.
Well, I've said my piece about John Roberts. I've said, don't waste your time if the result's inevitable. And I made some of my listeners real mad, some women real mad by saying this. But I said it before, and I'll say it again. Why waste your time? Why waste your ammunition if you know you're going to lose this fight anyway? And they're going to from the very beginning.
I think that's absolutely symptomatic of the problem with the fact that the Democrats haven't been winning elections is the fact that if it's not worth, if you can't win it, it's not worth fighting for. That's not a good mentality.
Well, I mean, there are other battles to fight.
You should fight to the end regardless of whether you can win or not. If those are your beliefs, those are your beliefs.
Well,
but that's what I get back to, the politicizing of everything.
But the belief is that John Roberts, it is the prerogative of the president to choose who he wants for that, and it is futile to fight against this nominee. Everybody knows he's going to get in there. There's no chance that he's not, and there's nothing the Democrats could have done about this nominee. I think that John Roberts was a, whether I agree with his ideology and his background or not, I think he was an excellent choice by this president, by the mere fact that the president knew damn well that the Democrats would have a hard time opposing this man.
Right. Well, at the same time that the Democrats didn't know that he was going to become the Chief Justice nominee, the president didn't know, that it was just going to go so smoothly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those, it's like a political catch-22, and I actually think it's fascinating. And I also think the question and answer sessions, even though they, Biden and Schumer, they gave it their best, and Kennedy, they went after it. But I thought the question and answer sessions were just fascinating. I thought John Roberts was just brilliant. I mean, in his ability to answer and not answer.
Well, he was brilliant in his ability to be a crafty and cunning lawyer, and that's what he was. To my way of thinking, he made Biden and Kennedy and everybody that questioned him, that tried to undermine any of his. I thought he made him look bad.
Well, I thought it was a glaring example of we're against you because of who sent you here.
Well,
yeah, I mean, John Roberts, did you realize he did not even use notes?
No, he didn't. He didn't use notes.
He had no pieces of paper. There was no read statements that had been poured over by lackeys or, you know, how many other lawyers. It was just him.
Oh, sure. I don't think there's any doubt the guy is a brilliant mind, and there are a few people that can stand there extemporaneously and talk like he does. Another one would be Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton could stand and talk to you on any subject you want in an expert fashion from now till the cows come home, and I got a feeling John Roberts could as well.
I'm a diehard Republican, and I do support the president, but, man, I wish he had the oratory capability of that gentleman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am a believer in his abilities, but I can't stand the way he communicates his message, because he can't.
Well, he's probably the worst communicator that we've ever had in that office. I would say you'd have to go back to Herbert Hoover or somebody like that until you got somebody that was a worse communicator. Even Harry Truman wasn't polished in that regard, but Harry had no trouble getting his point across always, and people always knew, you know, exactly where he stood. I'm not so sure about George Bush.
Well, when it has come to pressure times, the president has been able to demonstrate an ability to do on the cuff and make that right statement, you know, most notably standing there saying, in front of the New York City firefighters who were running up into the fire and not running away like the 500 New Orleans police department. I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. But he did have the ability to do that on the spot.
You think he did that on the spot?
I think he did that on the spot.
I don't think he did. I don't think he does anything on the spot. I think he's well coached. With the abilities he has, they coach him. From what I understand, my contacts tell me that he's coached constantly. And still doesn't perform, you know. He couldn't debate a high school kid. I mean, there's no question.
Let's see here, and here's where I go back to the whole problem with the political process. Who's not coached?
Well, I think more intelligent people don't need to be coached.
If we could actually find a man, you know, and when I say a man is somebody who speaks for themselves, who stands for what they believe and says what they believe. If we could actually find a man for that office or any office, I don't care if it's dog catcher. If we could actually elect a man rather than a coached individual.
Well, I don't think that's true in all cases. I would say, regardless of what anybody thinks about Bill Clinton, I don't think there's a guy there that had been coached whatsoever. He was able to speak his mind in spades. He was a very fine communicator. And, again, I will say he could speak extemporaneously on any subject you wanted for as long as you wanted and make sense and talk to an expert just about any subject.
Well, yeah, you went a little bit far when you said make sense because, unfortunately, part of the standard is being able to talk for an hour and not say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the greatest talent of any politician.
Well, they're all good at that, aren't they? They're all good at that. We saw John Roberts.
Look what just happened, Mr. James. A Republican and a Democrat had a civil conversation.
Oh, yeah, it happens. Hey, thanks for your call, Bill. Thanks very much. Yeah, bye now. We're going to go to Jason in Cape Coral. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Guy, it's Jason again from Cape Coral. I was just of course, listening to your show, and I heard that. So I'm very sorry I was a little bit off on my time about Hurricane Katrina. I think it's landfall is, what, about 10 a.m.? Now, I'm right here in Cape Coral, so we went right through Charlie, much faster moving storm, a little bit smaller, well, quite a bit smaller, still very ferocious. And there's no reason you couldn't get aid in there that evening, unless they don't have headlights on cars and rescue vehicles anymore. I don't know, you know. Maybe I'm that off. And as far as Bush goes, I'm almost running out of words. The sun shines on a dog's butt some days. The man is in control of the strongest, most powerful, best country on the planet now. No Cold War, none of that. He has everything at his disposal. Everything. Everything. And if he can't just be a leader, the fish rots from the head down. You know, BS rolls downhill. Any one of those sayings is fine. And he needs to set an example of leadership, of a strong leader. And, yeah, John Roberts, probably pretty slick choice, you know. How are we going to really oppose him anyway? All we do is postpone it.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
And, you know, this is old news. I mean, everyone knows that. He has everyone around him, guiding him, giving him advice. You know, I don't even know what to say.
Here's a man that was probably more prepared to go to hearings to be a Supreme Court justice than anybody in history. Number one, he helped prepare some other Supreme Court justices, two of them. He helped prepare them to go before their hearings to become Supreme Court justice. He knows that whole business inside and out. The guy, I got to admit, tactically, he was an excellent choice. I think Bush knew, I don't think Bush actually made the nominee, picked him, but whoever it was in the Bush administration that really picked the guy, I think they knew that the Democrats have a hard time doing anything with him.
Yeah, of course they did. Hey, any word on Carl Rove or, any of these things that seem to come up and then, never get reported on, and then we forget about conveniently.
Well, we're still waiting. We understand that the middle of October, the special prosecutor has to come out with his report in the middle of October. So we're looking for that in, what, about 3-4 weeks yet until all of a sudden his name escapes me. But isn't it funny? We got a special prosecutor here, and I can't remember his name, but everybody will never forget Ken Starr, will they?
No. How about the that memo, the one over in England? I forget that.
The Downing Street memos. I don't think anything's ever going to come of it. I think the Republicans did an excellent job of knocking that down. They never disputed it. I think by now anybody in the know knows that that was an absolute fact. But they didn't have to knock it down. They did such a good job with their mouthpieces, with your Limbaughs and Hannitys and people out there, which control the media. They're able to knock down just about anything, and they did an excellent job with that. I got to hand it to them. Thanks for your call, Jason. Good to hear from you. What are we going to do over in New Orleans? What are we going to do? The waters are receding. The dust is flying, and the rhetoric from both sides is hot and heavy. The Republicans are blaming everything that went wrong in Governor Blanco and Mayor Nagin, and the Democrats are blaming the fiasco that resulted after the hurricane on Bush and his pathetic FEMA appointees. And the fight's going to go on for a long time. And meanwhile, back at the scene of the disaster, money's being handed out by the carload, just like it was and still is over in Iraq. And it's the same old names coming up once again. You got your Halliburton and their subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root and Bechtel and a couple of others, and of course KBR and Shaw and Company. They're one in there too. They're both clients of former FEMA head and Bush fundraiser Joe Albaugh. Isn't that amazing how those folks just get in there? They're clients of him. It's just a coincidence, of course. But Albaugh was the guy who got disgraced FEMA director Mike Brown his job in the first place, and here he is getting money spent in the disaster area. They were roomies in college, and these are the same names that keep popping up in Iraq getting no-bid contracts. Odd, don't you think? Talk about political power. But we shouldn't be surprised. In fact, nobody is surprised. And those folks who are in the evacuee camps will just have to sit around and wait for the rich white guys to rebuild their cities. That's how it's going to go. They know it. We know it. We're all suckers. We're all suckers. You, me, all of us. Here we are donating money to feed the poor folks who have been displaced while Bush's friends, the ultra-rich fat cats, are going to rake in billions of dollars of our tax money. Who wins and who loses in this scene? Well, it's the same folks who always win and the same people who always lose. The fat cats win and the taxpayers lose, and that's 100% of the time. And just look at Bush's tax cuts, for instance. The rich got the huge tax cuts while the working man got a lousy $600. For my way of thinking, it was chump change for chumps. And that's just the way I think of the electorate right now. They put this guy in office. Can't believe, after watching all that transpired this past week with his speech and all that, can't believe that he's the president of the United States. It's just hard for me to go there. But the war, we haven't heard a thing about the war in the last couple of weeks. It's been off the pages, and I suppose the administration's happy about that because it's not going so well. It doesn't look like the elections are going to go so well over there. One little note, I see the Republicans now want to put Reagan on the $50 bill. They actually want to put Ronald Reagan on the $50 bill. And I think, for what it's worth, I think they ought to put his picture on a $2 bill. That was a failure, too. So I just think that'd work out real nice if they would do that. So I don't know. I wanted to talk to folks who are complaining about the aid that Bush wants to give down in that area to the people that really need it. And I think if you are religious at all, people that don't want to share, remember this 25th chapter of the Matthew's Gospel. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, escorted by all the angels of heaven, He will sit upon His royal throne, and all the nations will be assembled before Him, and He will separate them into two groups. As shepherd separates sheep from goats, the sheep He will place on His right hand, the goats on His left. The King will say to those on His right, come, you have My Father's blessing. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was ill, and you comforted Me. In prison, and you came to visit Me. And then the just will ask Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we welcome you away from home or clothe you in your nakedness? When did we visit you when you were ill or in prison? And the King will answer them, I assure you, as often as you did it for one of My least brothers, you did it for Me. I'm so thankful to have all of you listening to the program tonight. I hope you'll tune in again next week. I hope you'll donate at www.theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.